KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243 CT Reading.
Good evening, everyone. We're out here at
Turtle Bay's glowing wild and illuminated wildlife legend festival.
Is back better than ever here on a Friday night edition of Hope 45's Baseball. The Alameda Anchors making the trip up from the East Bay. And we're now up here in Redding, California. I'm Jacob Green here with you, joined by Spencer Schlange. And it just broke my pen live on air. That sucks. But we have a lot more pens and we have a lot more to work with here. The Alameda Anchors came to town last year and it was a fun three games. Spencer, you said it was likely, you think all three games you called, one of the only weekends you were able to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great series. Again, split 2-1, obviously in favor of the Colt 45s, but some high scoring baseball as they dropped the first game 7-5 against this strong Anchors side. And then the next night they go on to win 7-6 and then bring home the series win on the final night in a three-game series. So, yeah, expecting more of that as, obviously, undefeated so far this early campaign, starting off 3-0 with the sweep against the Watsonville Aggies. And this is actually the opening weekend and opening series for this Alameda Anchors side. So we're very curious to see how it's going to go for two sides that have been very dominant over the past few seasons.
Yeah, it's a very good Colt 45s team and then a very, very evenly matched up Alameda Anchors team, as you said. We saw that last season when they won the middle game of the series, I believe. And we went to look at the stats pregame, and actually I went to look at them yesterday too, but the stats page was wiped out, just not sure exactly why. But so if you're looking at stats online for the 45s, yeah, you have about as much information as we do, which is zero to none.
There you go.
And then all my box scores and stuff that I keep track of from last season is in a file folder in my room back home. So, you know, don't really have any box scores to look over, but it's a very back and forth three game weekend series and then a couple of one run ball games, if I remember correctly, as well. But the Alameda Anchors are coached by head coach Jerry Gibbs. And the Colt 45s, by, of course, Bob Anderson, as the starting lineups are announced. We're looking to get underway. I mean, Spencer, what exactly it was a very exciting weekend last weekend, first of all. Saturday and Sunday both resulting in walk-offs, and in my tenure here, the previous 2 years, we had a total of 2 walk-offs, only one of which I was on the air for. And fun fact about that game, I was actually with Austin White working as the color commentator before I was on here full-time as play-by-play. So it was the first 2 walk-offs I got to call with the 45s. A very exciting opening weekend, and that's another reminder to come on down to Tiger Field. Get yourself a burger like I did earlier before the pregame show and everything. Sit down in the bleachers, take in a nice little, very intimate atmosphere here at Tiger Field. But grab a burger, watch some good baseball, and yeah, last weekend very exciting. And then this weekend, what are you looking for, Spencer?
Yeah, absolutely, Jacob. Again, that last series against the Aggies, all the fireworks. I'm sorry to miss it, unfortunately, but I am expecting nothing else from this series based off how last June went, obviously, with these 2 very solid teams, as mentioned. Hopefully it'll continue to pick up in that sense. Hopefully the Colt 45s continue the win streak going. Obviously it's a much different team than last year, only a few returners. But that's the way they like it, I think. Off this great start, as mentioned, the Watsonville Aggies put up a good fight. But Colt 45 is able to get it done when it matters. And then the Anchors, this is obviously the first anyone has seen of them since last August. So we're very excited to see how that's going to go. I expect nothing else than more fireworks here tonight and this series entirely.
Yeah, the Alameda Anchors are without 13 players. I talked to Jerry Gibbs before the game, the manager, and he said they're without 13 players. A little bit short on pitching, so we'll see how that comes into effect as we're getting ready to slow things down here for a second for tonight's national anthem, brought to you by Mandy Make. And as we will stand here, as we're prompted by Chad Johnson, the PA announcer here at Tiger Field. And we'll bring you tonight's rendition in just a few moments here at Tiger Field.
Why so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleam, whose rush of Seven bright stars through the perilous fight. For the rest of the watch, we're still counting.
That was Mandy Make with tonight's rendition of our nation's anthem. Getting the ball tonight from Bob Anderson will be Lucas Pettingill for the 45s. Right-hand pitcher, 6'4", 205 out of Overton, Nevada. And set to go to CSU San Bernardino down in SoCal. Last week against the Watsonville Aggies, he went 4 innings of 4 hits, 3 runs, all 3 earned, 1 walk, and 6 Ks against the Watsonville Aggies. Getting the baseball tonight from head coach Jerry Gibbs will be Caden Cott, sporting that number 11. Looks to be probably about 6 foot or taller, 190 or so. And he will get the baseball to face off against Lucas Pettingill. And for tonight's starting lineups, I'm going to hand it over to Spencer Slange.
Awesome. Thank you again, Jacob. Yeah, leading off tonight for the Alameda Anchors will be Robbie Finland, followed by Alec Nava, followed by Junior Milan. And then batting cleanup is going to be Ben Johnston, followed by Cam Imberg. Kevin Froome batting 6. Marcos Lagios at 7. Carson Sanders at 8. And then the designated hitter rounding up the line and taking the field here for your Redding Colt 45s from the infield. Up the middle is going to be Mark Anthony Carroll at short, followed by Deegan Palos at second. Third base is going to be Preston Conklin, and then Patrick Bowen Jr. holding down first base. And then from the outfield, from left to right, it's going to be Tyler Zanheiser in left, D'Amico Parker in center, and Adrian Lopez in right. It's going to be Arthur Chavez behind the dish. And on the mound is going to be, as Jacob mentioned, Lucas Pettingill, in his first bit of burn in this series, getting the nod from Coach Bob Anderson here to open the series and hopefully get off to a strong start tonight and then the series as a whole for this weekend.
100%. And in the Colt 45s, just looking to continue that winning streak. They ended the season last year with a winning streak. They've started the game with a winning streak, and we've got some wind this weekend, which is not something we really had last weekend. It was pretty stagnant heat, but it would cool off, obviously, as the night progressed. But tonight, already, there's a nice little cross breeze blowing, some cloud cover. It's about partly cloudy, mostly blue skies overhead here at Tiger Field. 310 down the right field line, 320 down the left field line to the left center gap, 358 right to the left of the scoreboard. Straightaway center, 406 beyond the batter's eye with the flags blowing left to right field with the American flag and then the Colt 45 flag below, 370 down to right center field. As we look to get underway here, Bob Anderson and Jerry Gibbs conclude their meeting at the mound. Meeting at the plate, rather. Oh, my goodness. You'd think I've never called baseball before. As they look to get underway. And, yeah, Finland, Nava, and Milan will face off against Pettingill. Pettingill coming off a four-inning outing, expecting him to go a little bit more tonight, just due to the nature of first start versus the second start for the Colt 45s. And fun fact about Jerry Gibbs, actually went to school with his son, Jared Gibbs, who played baseball at Simpson and then also was in his wedding last summer. So It's a pretty cool random fact, but I didn't even know that until last weekend when they came to town and I watched Jerry Gibbs take the field. I was like, wait a minute, I recognize that guy. And then, you know, lo and behold, having known him before, lo and behold, went and saw him after the game and was like, hey, I didn't know you were in town. He was like, what the heck are you doing here? I was like, I call the games. What are you doing here?
Yo.
You live down in the East Bay.
I guess they both kind of work here, huh? At least one weekend a year.
And back-to-back years, we've seen him this year a little bit earlier, which is fun.
Yeah, for sure. And that's another great point that I think we touched on a little bit in the pregame, but Alameda Anchors, first we've seen of them this year. So we'll see how different their team may look, as you mentioned. You heard from the coach they're missing a few guys, which is obviously going to play a factor, whether it's positive or negative, on either side of the ball. But definitely excited to see how this looks for this team, and I'm sure other teams are going to be watching, following along. These are two solid sides, or ball clubs, over the past couple seasons, and curious to see how they'll do this weekend.
Yeah, it should be a fun weekend of baseball, and as I said before, I was talking with Spencer before the game, not only are we calling Friday and Saturday, but if Sunday the ad doesn't sell, which there's your ad placement there, if someone's business wants to call in and pay for the ads, so we call the game, but also you get ads and everything else. You get an interview with Carl Bott, I believe, and a whole month of ads or something like that, and then we do an ad read every single half inning for whatever business it is that buys the ad. Let's just come and take the game in like a fan, you know, rejuvenate the love of baseball and get to watch from everybody else's perspective for once. You just watch the game from a very different perspective when you're calling the game, of course. But nevertheless, the game of baseball, I mean, it's the best sport, in my humble opinion. I know, Spencer, you'll probably disagree with me, especially with the World Cup coming up, but, you know, it's baseball. You can't help but love it, you know?
Yeah. And getting to do what we do, obviously, is just an extreme blessing, especially for here in the, especially me specifically with the hometown. It's such a great, great honor being able to be on the radio and call with KCNR and just get to watch some baseball as a fan, but also from a professional point of view for something I've been wanting to do for years of my life. So again, just very humbling and very honored to be here. That's a cool 45s. We'll take the field here. And it will be obviously Lucas Pettingill getting his first feel of the ball. Getting ready to rock and roll here Friday night. Baseball, as Jacob mentioned, couldn't ask for much more here out of Tiger Field as we showed up a couple hours ago, and it seemed like it was going to be a scorcher, but now the wind has really picked up, the cloud cover's filled in, these glasses might be coming off by the third inning or so.
Yeah, and I mean, same. I run those prescription sunglasses deep into the ball game typically, just because changing glasses is kind of difficult sometimes.
Right. Yeah, and again, it'll be Finland, Nava, and Milan up 1-2-3, and batting cleanup will be Ben Johnson if it decides to go that far.
And we just got the umpires announced. Didn't catch the first and third base umpires, but behind the dish will be Can Reich, who was calling balls and strikes last week for, I believe it was game 2. As now everyone taking the field, including their warm-ups, including Lucas Pettingill, the lengthy right-hander out there for the Colt 45s out of Overton, Nevada. 6'4", 205. His battery mate is Arthur Chavez. As Steve Graves will be at first base, Roger Freer at third. Cam Rule, the home plate umpire. I was told the incorrect name. My apologies. As we will look to get underway here. As Robbie Fentland will step up to the plate right now. As Shadow's just starting to cover the field. Here's the first pitch from Pettingill. This is upstairs, and we are underway here. 7:19. The first pitch comes flying in to the right and hitting second baseman. Even stance deep in the box for the Anchors. The windup, the pitch from Pettingill. All the way to the backstop for ball 2. Couple missed upstairs here. Now with a new baseball, he'll climb back up the front slope of the mound. regather himself.
Yeah, nothing crazy. First couple pitches, just a little bit off center. See if you can deal this one better.
This one just misses.
Yeah, close one for sure.
I was right there on the outer half, right below the knee. Now the 3-0 delivery to the right-hand hitter, open stance, right through the heart for called strike one.
There you go. It's a great job by Finland. You do not want to start the game or a series at that with a 4-pitch walk, obviously. Obviously not what he intended, but way to fight and stay in it now.
Here's a 3-1 from the third base side out of the windup. A little flare beyond the reach of Mark Anthony Carroll will land in shallow left center field, played back by Zanizer, and that's the way our ball game begins. It's a single on the 3-1 count.
Yeah, with the win there, just a little chopper from Finland straight up, right over Mark Anthony Carroll's head, and that's going to be a single early.
Now Alec Nava to the plate. Yeah, Mark Anthony Carroll giving chase. Reached up for it over the shoulder, but it was about a foot and a half beyond his reach. Landed in no man's land between the trio of Zanizer from left, Parker from center, then Carroll from short. First pitch is chops foul back behind the plate. 4-1 to the right-hand hitting Alec Nava playing third base tonight for the Anchors. The Anchors, the gray bottoms, blue short-sleeve tops with the yellow lettering and the yellow numbering on the back. The Colt 45s, the all-white. And then the white sleeveless tops with the black short sleeves, and some players have the long sleeve underneath. There's the 0-1 delivery as Pettingill working out of the stretch from the third base side, looking for the double play. This one's hit in the air towards center. Parker coming on, playable for him. He'll squeeze it and look the batter back to first. That's out number one.
Yeah, and it's a great job there by Parker, as you mentioned, just giving chase to the ball right away. Obviously, a little bit out of reach from where center field typically would be, but there was a little bit of air under that ball. He's able to get to it and get the ball in quick. And, yeah, as you mentioned, look Finland off. So one out down, keeping the runner on first, and as well as you could ask it.
That wind now blowing a little bit more out, but also blowing, again, left to right field. So it's
right.
More so out toward that right center gap. Here's the first pitch of the right end, hitting Milan, the shortstop. Over but low for ball one. Junior Milan getting his first at-bat of the year. It's opening night for the Alameda Anchors coming to town, their first game of this summer season, playing in the Pacific Coast League. Here's the 1-0. This is upstairs for ball two.
And as you mentioned, those jerseys, Jacob, I feel like that is very Bay Area-esque with the blue and the gold and the little bit of gray in there. I like it.
As a Bay Area native, can't help but love it.
There
you
go.
Now the 2-0. And that's going to plunk the shoulder. And taking first base on the hit by pitch. Pettingill with some command issues early on here. Runners at first and second.
Yeah, for sure. Just a little bit off center so far. Hasn't been able to hit the zone that well with the pitches he likes. Hopefully he'll be able to settle in here and at least close out this inning with minimal damage. Obviously still got plenty of time. And there's an out down as well with that grabbed by Parker in deep center.
Yeah, you're just a double play away from rolling it up and heading back to the dugout looking to get to work in the bottom of the first. Delivers a strike right on the inside corner to Ben Johnston, the first baseman and cleanup batter. Number 24 for the Anchors. Now the 0-1. It's a chopper up the middle, charging Carroll, backhanded by the second baseman. Paulo throw to first, wide of the bag, diving play by Patrick Bowe Jr., diving for it, throws home with the runner rounding third, headed for home, and that's one way to turn a double play, 4-3-1, the most unconventional double play you've ever seen, more than likely, and that's the way things end here in the top of the first frame of a scoreless ball game with the Colt 45s coming up in the bottom half.
Reading area, stay cool this summer with Reading Heating and Air. Fast AC repairs and installations by local experts with over 20 years of experience. Visit readingheatingandair.com or call 530-223-1332. That's 530-223-1332.
Why do I hear honking? What's the celebration?
Because homeowners can save thousands right now.
And that's worth honking about.
All right, you've got my attention. How?
This year, HVAC prices are jumping. Manufacturers say up to 30%. Equipment, materials, everything.
But right now, we're holding the line, young fella.
Holding the line how?
By doing something most companies won't. We're selling select new systems at cost. No profit.
Wait, at cost?
Yep, you get today's price before next year's increases hit, big incentives, and financing that can mean zero down.
It's real savings. No gimmicks, no funny math.
So homeowners save big.
And Redding Heating and Air keeps their crews working instead of cutting hours.
Feels right to me.
It's called at-cost pricing. The biggest savings event of the year, only from Redding Heating and Air. Learn more at RedingHeatingAir.com. Old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions.
Hello everyone, and welcome back here to the bottom of the first inning, scoreless ball game.
Just hit into a very odd double play. It was a ground ball to the second base bag, backhanded by Paulos, who threw wide to first base. It was a great play by Patrick Bowen Jr., diving toward the right field side of the bag, hit the dirt fully on the full extension, threw home where the runner, Junior Milan, was rounding second base, then third base. I take that back. Bobby Finlan, rather, the lead runner, rounding from second base, and was thrown out at the plate. The tag applied by Mr. Chavez. Had to get out of the jam with minimal damage, and after all that, the anchors did not leave anyone aboard, technically speaking. Now to the plate is Tyler Zanizer to lead things off here.
In the bottom half of the first, this first pitch to Zanizer misses for ball one. Now the righty caught, deal, swing, and a miss for strike two. For strike one, rather. Levels the count out at one ball and one strike.
And this is the first we'll see from this Alameda Anchors defense, and Caden Cott, of course, giving the nod to open up the campaign for them here tonight. See what he can do here, working against Zanizer to start off the season.
Now the 1-1, misses low for ball two. Two balls and one strike. The righty kicks and deals from the third base side, working out of the stretch even with nobody on. This one's fouled back toward the screen. Just chop back foul. Here's the count of one ball and two strikes. And the 1-2 delivery with nobody out, nobody on. Scoreless bottom of the first. Check swing, ball in the dirt. And like I say, he went around. The home plate umpire, no appeal. And Cam Rule calls Zanizer down on strikes for out number one.
Yeah, and that's exactly how you draw it up for Caden Cott, obviously getting a strikeout on his first batter faced here to open the campaign.
Now D'Amico Parker to the plate. Right-hand batter deep in the box, a slightly open stance, but a very wide stance. It's the first pitch from righty caught. It's a ground ball toward the shortstop, Milan. And right through him goes into the outfield for a base hit. Now Parker trying for two. The center fielder with a throw offline into second base. D'Amico Parker on the hustle with the head first Superman slide.
Yeah, just an absolutely incredible play there by Parker. A heads-up play, rounding first. Very aggressively, that ball was in shallow center field. But he's able to beat the tag with the, as mentioned, the head first slide. And then obviously a little bit unlucky there from Junior Milan. Took an unlucky bounce off the inside grass. Skip past him and was able to turn that from a possible 6-3 putout to a stand-up double from D'Amico Parker.
And should be ruled an E6. That was a tough,
I think so.
Tough play nonetheless. And again, former infielder, the secondary hop that you want to take away, you want to charge that ball as hard as you can. Take away that in-between hop because that's what can happen right there. You want to limit the level of control that the ball has over you, and basically take away ground from that ball. This one is in there for a called strike one to the right hand hitting Preston Conklin, the third baseman. And in this case, the shortstop Milan had to kind of wait for it, wait for that second hop, couldn't take away that second to last hop rather, couldn't take it away, and then was going to have to make a hurried throw. This one's wide of the catcher all the way to the backstop, and Parker takes third on the wild pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. An unfortunate error, but an error nonetheless, I'd argue.
Yeah.
I agree with you there, Jacob. Not exactly his fault, but his play he could have definitely made.
Yeah, just a rough play on the – I mean, you play soccer, you know what it's like. Sometimes the different pitches bounce a little bit different,
right.
And
absolutely.
The ball's just going to play a more odd carom. That's one of those cases where – from infield grass to dirt, where it's going to pick up speed. As this one's hit in the air toward left center, should be playable for Kroom. Settle underneath it and squeeze it. The throw in with Parker tagging is not going to be in nearly enough time, and it's a sacrifice fly for Conklin as Parker comes in to score to open up the scoring here in this ball game, and it's 1-0, the Colt 45s lead.
Yeah, and there you go. It's about as good as you could ask from Conklin there. Just hit it hard and deep, and obviously...
Yeah, it was about medium depth. It wasn't even that deep, but again, with Parker's speed, it's just going to – he basically trotted in to score, you know.
Yeah.
Could have taken even more time, but that throw from the center fielder was not even close to close to making a close play at home, honestly.
Right. Kroom had plenty of time to get under it, but obviously he didn't even – it was like a half-hearted throw back in as Parker was pretty much already made his way home across the plate, as you mentioned, with that speed.
Yeah, even getting behind that baseball and really getting your feet underneath it, setting up correctly. Here's the 0-1. This is up and away for ball one to even the count up at one ball, one strike with two outs and a 1-0 bottom of the first. That's one of those cases where when it's a little bit more shallow, you'll settle underneath it, take your couple steps back, charge the ball, crow hop, make a strong throw in. But this early in a ball game and the season, you're not gonna try and throw your arm out or anything. Here's a 1-1. Misses inside for ball two. So Kroom doing his best to make it somewhat competitive. But again, D'Amico Parker is just way too fast to be able to make a strong throw in. Here's the 2-1 delivery to the left hand hitting Parker Bowen Jr. There's a chopper toward the shortstop. Milan charging, throws off balance to first in time. Great play by Milan charging. Took a second to grip that baseball as he charged in on it. It looked like it was spinning in his glove. And then made a strong throw first in time for the out. But the Colt 45s get one on the E6 that came around to score after the side is retired. As we head to the top of the second inning here on KCNR, Shasta Redding 1-0, the Colt 45s lead.
Redding area, stay cool this summer with Redding Heating and Air. Fast AC repairs and installations by local experts with over 20 years of experience. Visit RedingHeatingAndAir.com or call 530-223-1332. That's 530-223-1332.
Why do I hear honking? What's the celebration?
Because homeowners can save thousands right now.
And that's worth honking about.
All right, you've got my attention. How?
This year, HVAC prices are jumping. Manufacturers say up to 30%. Equipment, materials, everything.
But right now, we're holding the line, young fella.
Holding the line how?
By doing something most companies won't. We're selling select new systems at cost. No profit.
Wait, at cost?
Yep, you get today's price before next year's increases hit, big incentives, and financing that can mean zero down.
It's real savings. No gimmicks, no funny math.
So homeowners save big.
And Redding Heating and Air keeps their crews working instead of cutting hours.
Feels right to me.
It's called at-cost pricing. The biggest savings event of the year, only from Redding Heating and Air. Learn more at RedingHeatingAir.com. Old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions.
Here's the first pitch to the right-hand hitting Cam Imberg for a called strike one from Lucas Pettingill here in the top of the second inning. Pettingill kicks and deals, swing and a miss for strike two.
Thank you. You signed up for Music Outrage. Come on down and meet the outside.
No balls and two strikes with nobody out here in the top of the second inning. Pettingill kicks and deals off the third base side. On the inside corner, ring him up. Strike three called. That is out number one, and Imberg down on strikes a-looking. Now to take you the rest of the way through the second, here's Spencer Slange.
Thank you, Jacob. And, yeah, Pettingill with his first strikeout of the series and of the night. Good start for him, obviously. Took a little bit getting under him, obviously, with the allowing a single and a hit by pitch, but obviously no damage done as of yet. And now he will face Kaven Kroom with one out down as this one will be called on the inside corner there for strike one. And Pettingill digs in here so far, just four strikes thrown to start the second inning as this one's going to get swung on up to the middle, gathered by second baseman, and the throw is on time for out number two. It's going to be a 4-3 putout, and this Colt 45 defense making quick work of the side so far.
Yeah, Deegan Paulos just charging ahead to get around the baseball, make a strong throw, and now Lagios to the plate. But as another, again, Patrick Bowen Jr. over there at first holding it down, doing a great job getting to the bag in time, being ready for a quicker throw from the second baseman.
There you go, yeah. Now Lagios up. His first at-bat of the season, as this one's going to miss just inside, I think, for ball one. Two outs down, the Colt 45s lead 1-0 in the top of the second inning. Pettingill delivers, and it's going to just miss again. Be a 2-0 count now. Lagios, the right fielder in that first inning, no action yet, but looking to get on base and help this anchor side out. As called strike here on the fastball from Pettingill. 2-1 count. Pettingill kicks and deals the 2-1, swung on, and it's a great hit that's going to fall in between center and right field. And Lagios might look to go two, and he's going to hold up at once. Good job by the outfield to get that ball back in there. But it's going to be a great-looking single there for Marcos Lagios.
Parker over to cut that ball off, right headed toward the 370 mark in right center field up the alley. Cut off that base hit, a whirl and a throw into second. That was a wide turn at first by Lagios, but then quickly threw on the brakes and headed back to first. Did not want to test the arm of D'Amico Parker.
Absolutely. I do think that is the right move as well. May just be a little bit of bias there, but I do think that ball is going to make its way into second, and Lagios may have been stuck in a bit of a pickle. Now due up will be Carson Sanders to face Pettingill.
Yeah, if it was a play at second, that's what we would have called getting hosed.
Absolutely.
Just, I mean, nuked. It was going to be a strong throw-in from Parker. I mean, it was a strong throw-in from Parker, but
as Pettingill's going to get called strike here for strike number one.
There's a perfect example of the strike zone still getting established, because I thought that missed
good,
low.
Great framing by the catcher, I'd have to say. That's what I'd argue there.
Yeah, brought it up a little bit from the south pole.
Pettingill missed low, 1-1 cap. That was a good one. Sorry, I hadn't heard that before.
All the way, southern hemisphere, south pole, yeah.
There you go.
That's all there.
It's easy to snap that glove up, make it face in the middle of the strike zone.
Yeah, just ask Patrick Bailey, the
there
Giants catcher.
As big swing and a miss. Swings out of the box there, Sanders. So it's going to be 1-2 here in favor of Pettingill. Two outs down. Plays at first or second if anything's in play.
Yeah, swinging out of his socks there. Trying to
Absolutely. Give
the anchors the lead with one swing of the bat. Almost did a pirouette in the box.
Yep,
that was crazy.
Respect it. Might as well swing for the fences. Two outs down.
Why not? Why not let it fly?
Here's the 1-2 from Pettingill. It's going to miss low. And even up the count at 2-2. Great job by the catcher again, Chavez. Behind the dish, keeping that in front of him. And keeping a free 90 feet from being had from Lagios and his anchors offense. 2-2 pitch. Swing pitch in the count here coming from Pettingill. May have got him on the corner, and he has. And that will retire the side. Two strikeouts for Pettingill, both looking. The anchors threatened, but they do not score. They strand one. And the Colt 45s will be up to bat in the bottom of the second, still leading with a score of 1-0.
That's a great inside breaking ball. Letting stay cool this summer with Red Hanging Air. Fast AC repairs and installations by local experts with over 20 years of experience. Visit RedHeatingAndAir.com or call 530-223-1332.
hear honking. What's the celebration?
Because homeowners can save thousands right now.
And that's worth honking about.
All right, you've got my attention. How?
This year, HVAC prices are jumping. Manufacturers say up to 30%. Equipment, materials, everything.
But right now, we're holding the line, young fella.
Holding the line how?
By doing something most companies won't. We're selling select new systems at cost. No profit.
Wait, at cost?
Yep, you get today's price before next year's increases hit, big incentives, and financing that can mean zero down.
It's real savings. No gimmicks, no funny math.
So homeowners save big.
And Redding Heating and Air keeps their crews working instead of cutting hours.
Feels right to me.
It's called at-cost pricing. The biggest savings event of the year, only from Redding Heating and Air. Learn more at reddingheatingair.com. Old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions.
Out here to Tiger Field in Redding, California. We enter the bottom of the second inning. New up is Braden Chiarito as the designated hitter, left-handed hitter here for the Colt 45s as they lead a score of 1-0 here in the bottom of the second. He will face Caden Cott, obviously, who had a strikeout on Tyler Zanheiser, but then followed with an error by the defense behind him towards D'Amico Parker, who eventually came around to score, and that is the scoring we have seen so far in the game in this early one as Chiarito will watch ball one come through. It's 1-0 count here. Caden Cott deals, and it's going to be swung on, collected. Oh, no, it's going to be – the throw's not going to be in time. It is going to be a single off of an error there by the second baseman. That's going to be Robbie Fintland, the leadoff batter. Had one, he could have cut off the front edge of the grass there again. Should have been easier play, but it's going to be an E4, and that is how the inning is going to begin there for Chiarito. He will get on. And now we'll give Adrian Lopez an opportunity.
And I believe for Adrian Lopez, this is the first time we've seen him this year. Pitch misses inside, back pick down to first, but in standing up is Chiarito getting to first on that E4.
Yeah, an interesting play there. Definitely unfortunate by second baseman there, obviously, Fintland. First game of the season, just getting his feet under him. First ball to head his way so far in the night on the season. So nothing crazy, but a little unfortunate. As looking for a pick again as the ball will get away from first baseman. But regardless, Chiarito will hold as Caden Cott looked to get a little pick off there.
Yeah, Ben Johnston just bobbled it momentarily. Cott trying to nab the runner sleeping. Catch him napping.
There you go. Lopez now. The 1-0 count still. Cott deals. It'll be a called strike. It'll even up the count there.
The outfield shaded a couple of steps toward left. The center fielder, Kroom, shaded toward the gap, playing a little bit more shallow. And then also the anchors infield shifted to pull as well, looking to turn two with the first baseman, Johnson, holding on the runner at first. So a huge gap on the right side for the right-handed Lopez. Puerto Rico native.
There you go. That's awesome. Yeah, anything over the second baseman's head might be very dangerous. Looks like it's going to be a hit by pitch, and he will advance to first for free, and that will bring Chiarito into scoring position as well. So a rough start here in the bottom of the second. Zero outs for these anchors, and they have had two unforced errors, really, and that's caused 90 feet for two different runners.
Yeah, and it's what we saw last weekend when
absolutely
the team that the 45s are playing gives them, well, grants them bases on errors or on hit by pitches, all those, the free 90 feet is what can win you or lose you a ball game. And in this case, if you're undisciplined in that area, now all of a sudden there's traffic on the bases with nobody out. So we're looking to pitch to contact here with the left-hand hitting Arthur Chavez to the plate.
Yeah, absolutely. Caught another hit by pitch and back-to-back pitches. That one gets away from him a little bit.
Yeah, just right there on the shoulder, off the padding at least.
Yeah. A little jog into first. That'll load the bases with zero outs again. All unforced errors, and it's going to be called time there by the catcher. Just going to go have a word with his pitcher and make sure they're on the same page here. Back-to-back pitches, unfortunately, nowhere close to the strike zone. But again, cannot reiterate this enough. First game of the season, obviously a new-looking team for this Alameda Anchors side. Looking to just dig in. I think, obviously, the emotions are really high. You're very excited to play in the first game of the season, but that's when things are the most sloppy for sure. For most teams, it's the very first game of the year.
Yeah, 100%. Those first game jitters of sorts. And then also with that, we got a courtesy runner. These, as the corner infielders are going to draw in. So first and third baseman Johnston and then Nava playing in on the grass, seeing if Mark Anthony Carroll will bunt, a returner from last year. So some larger leads around the bases with the corner infielders playing behind the runners.
First pitch he'll take called strike. We all one count here for Carroll.
Up the middle to the middle infielders, Milan at short and Finland at second. They're shaded up the middle just to close that gap. And then they'll look for two on the infield surrender the run in order to get the two outs. So you just have to turn a clean double play, essentially.
Absolutely. It's a tough position to be in here for the Anchors. An unfortunate one, as we mentioned, they got themselves into. It's a great job there as that pitch was low in the dirt to even up the count 1-1. But it's a great job there by Cam Emberg to keep that in front of him. Otherwise, runs would have scored and probably everyone would have advanced 90 feet. So, yeah, productive out, as Jacob mentioned, or outs, hopefully plural, if you're an Alameda Anchors supporter here. 1-1 count, Caden Cott. Delivers a high one and have to duck out of the way a little bit was Mark Anthony Carroll. Not sure if it would have hit him, but it was definitely close. Got out of the way, made the smart business decision there. This is up near the head area.
Yeah, duck and cover.
For sure. So 2-1 count now. Cott still trying to find himself here, find his feet. As the right-hander pitcher kicks and deals the 2-1. It's going to be out again, but Emberg again staying in front of it. It's going to be a 3-1 count. Now there's a very real chance that this Anchors defense, along with Caden Cott, will walk a run in, essentially off four errors.
Yeah, with a 3-1 count. And E. Ford, back-to-back hit by pitches. Now a 3-1 count, some command issues here in the second.
Here's the 3-1 swung on by Anthony Carroll. It might find some grass there, but it's a great play. Able to make up for it. Ball coming home, but runner will score. It's a great job there. Coming around to score is Chiarito, the designated hitter, and it's going to be a sacrifice fly there for Mark Anthony Carroll.
Yeah, not every day you see a sacrifice fly to the second baseman.
Right,
that was
right.
Just deep enough, a little flare in shallow right field. A great play by Finland to not let it drop, get there, make a quick turn, set his feet, strong throw home. It was just on a hop or two. But again, from outside from shallow right field. You're a second baseman. Most second basemen, here's some baseballology for you. Most second basemen don't have the strongest arms on the team. It's usually third, short, and then the outfielders. So they're and the catcher. Normally the weaker arms, but that was Finland showing off the cannon a little bit there. Breaking ball comes in on the outside corner.
Yeah, we called strike there on Paulos. But yeah, as you mentioned, I'm sure Finland feeling a little bit better about that running coming across from that air after making a good grab there in either, you could argue, deep infield or shallow outfield, either or, but catching over the shoulder like a football player there and getting it back in and holding the runners on first and second. That's about as much as you could ask for other than a double play, as this one's going to be called strike again. So it's going to be the 0-2 lead here, and this could be a great chance for Caden Codd to get his feet under him and keep his team in the game here.
Yeah, positionally speaking, I would say that was right field. But,
right.
You know, second baseman making the play, so it's what it's ruled in the scorebook as a four sacrifice fly to the four spot.
Yeah, and I do think he leaves that for the right fielder out there. That is not making its way in. Nothing against Lagios. That was just very shallow right field, and I think he had a good jump on it, as this one's going to miss high, and it'll read the count to 1-2. Runners on first and second. The Colt 45s did bring one across. 2-0 lead here. Bottom of two. One out down. Runners on first and second. And a 1-2 count for Deegan Paulos here.
And also with catching it, the trailing runners unable to advance, so there's still runners at first and second here in this 2-0 ball game.
Right. Sennheiser on deck. At the top of the lineup, this is going to be called ball as well. It's going to even the count 2-2.
And if that falls for a base hit in front of the right fielder, Lagios, and beyond the reach of Finland, those trailing runners advancing and then also the run coming in to score. But
absolutely.
Having to hold a little bit over there at third was Chiarito before he broke home.
Right. Here's the 2-2. Paulo swing and a miss, and that is going to be a strikeout, which was much needed by Caden Cott. His third of the night, if I'm not mistaken, second of the night. But both swinging there as Caden Cott is keeping his team back in it after a few errors. And he's looking to find himself here as runners again. First and second top lineup will be Tyler Sennheiser, who he did strike out to open the game. Two outs down now.
Some kids in the crowd here cheering for some Anchors players. I think that's the first time we've had an away team cheer.
There you go.
First pitch goes to the outside edge, right at the knees for a called strike one.
Sennheiser here looking to pick his pitch with a few ducks on the pond, as Jacob would say. Runners on first and second.
Couple of ducks on the pond right there.
On one count. As he'll take, watch one go high.
A way absurd corral by Emberg, who's been, he's been busy back behind the plate doing some phantom squats. Got his reps in. He's been moving around like a hockey goalie, to be
absolutely
honest. Left, bigger, right, up, down.
There you go. A bigger guy behind the dish than average, I'd say, as well. Here's the 1-1 delivery from Cott on Sennheiser. Sennheiser swings, and he's going to split the first and second base gap as it hits the right field. And the runner's going to hold.
Wow.
And everyone will be safe there. And a call-off there on rounding third was Adrian Lopez, but it ends up not going. He was called off or decided not to go as that throw came in. I think it may have gotten away from Lagios a little bit, but it's, I think, a good choice to stay. And that'll load the bases for D'Amico Parker, who got on, obviously, up in air, but ended up on second base in his last at-bat.
And Lagios, yeah, he momentarily bobbled it, came up throwing strong throw in. It was a wide turn at third, and it was Lopez was going to round third and head for home, threw on the brakes at the last second, and he would have gotten absolutely hosed because that right fielder had an arm, hit the cutoff man, the first baseman Johnson, then they almost backpicked the runner at second. There was no fielder there as this one misses way up and in on Parker. Some chin music there for ball one. Bases are loaded now. Sennheiser at first. Ayers, the courtesy runner at second, and then over at third is Lopez, but that saved a run for sure. It was a great play by the right fielder, Lagios.
Absolutely, and putting it just right between the first and second baseman. As Parker's going to hit this one, but it is going to be a fielder's choice, and it will be the 6-4 putout as the runner will come around to score, but it's not going to count, obviously, as that will be out number three. 6-4 putout is going to be 2-0 at the bottom of two. We'll head into the top of the third inning. 2-0 lead for your Colt 45s.
And you want to hear something crazy before we head to break is the fact that that was the first hit of the ball game for the Colt 45s. So they were getting no hit once through the order, which is pretty rare. But they actually less hits than the Alameda Anchor still. But they have more runs. It's 2-0 after two. When you need help fast, Redding Heating and Air delivers 24/7 emergency service. Trusted local HVAC pros right here in Redding. Call 530-223-1332 today. Old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions here in Redding, California, and the surrounding areas.
When the heat hits hard, Redding Heating and Air is here to keep you comfortable throughout the summer. From fast, reliable repairs to full system installs, our certified technicians do it right the first time. Need clean air? We've got indoor air quality solutions too. Family owned, locally trusted. Call Redding Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642. That's 530-221-2642. Or visit reddingheatingandair.com. Redding Heating and Air, comfort you can count on.
Why do I hear honking? What's the celebration?
Because homeowners can save thousands right now.
And that's worth honking about.
All right, you've got my attention. How?
This year, HVAC prices are jumping. Manufacturers say up to 30%. Equipment, materials, everything.
But right now, we're holding the line, young fella.
Holding the line how?
By doing something most companies won't. We're selling select new systems at cost. No profit.
Wait, at cost?
Yep, you get today's price before next year's increases hit, big incentives, and financing that can mean zero down.
It's real savings. No gimmicks, no funny math.
So homeowners save big.
And Redding Heating and Air keeps their crews working instead of cutting hours.
Feels right to me.
It's called at-cost pricing. The biggest savings event of the year, only from Redding Heating and Air. Learn more at reddingheatingair.com. Old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field here in Redding, California, as this first, third pitch, actually, is going to be swung on. Ooh, and I got him. He did get him. It's an incredible 4-3 put out, and little bobble there from second base with Deegan Paulos, but he's able to make that throw over to Patrick Bowen. Sorry, I was a little bit starstruck there. I had no words, but great play, obviously. Grant Honinger, while you were gone, was at a 1-1 count, and he hits that one up to second base. Obviously, taking a little bit of a spill there was Deegan Paulos just trying to keep that ball in front of him, bobbles a little bit, is able to spin, get that throw over to Patrick Bowen, and that's how the inning will begin. And that will be the top of the lineup with Robbie Finland, as he will take a strike one.
And he singled to start off this ballgame. Paulos gliding and sliding to his left on the rim of the outfield grass, corralled it, dropped it, re-corralled him in a strong throw to first, as this one misses low to even the count up one ball and one strike.
Yeah, and that was, as Jacob was talking about earlier, just coming on Sunday to be a fan. That was the fan in me watching. Did nothing to say. It was just like, oh my gosh, did he get him? But it's a great job there. It's getting even the count 1-1, as this one's going to miss slightly high. Pettingill now. It's third inning of work. 2-1 count here. Again, it's 2-0 here in the top of the third in favor of your Colt 45s. Anchor's still looking to get some damage done to start this season, as this one's going to get fouled back and even the count at 2 apiece. One out down again. That great, incredible play there by second baseman Deegan Paulos. Able to make a good throw. Beaten by just about half a step was Honinger.
Yeah, that ball cammed all the way off the backstop back into the field of play right in front of home plate.
Hey.
2-2 count here. Henningo peering in. And he's going to get him, ring him up. And that is going to be the third strike out there for Pettingill, all looking. So I don't know where these strikes are missing, but if he keeps throwing there, or where these strikes are hitting, but if he keeps hitting there, the umpire's obviously going with it. So that's going to be out number two.
Low and inside on right-hand batters has been the money spot, because I thought that was way low and in, but
and I do feel like
he's caught the corner.
I felt similar about the last two strikeouts he had as well. Obviously, we're not as great of a seat. We have a nice seat up here, but right behind the dish, as this one's going to get fouled straight back, and that's the first one we'll see back towards the lot for the night. Can't believe we made it this far, honestly.
Yeah, that's
it'll be strike one for Alec Nava off the foul ball.
Should have been here last weekend. There was about, I think, 15 or so in, like, two innings on Saturday night, it felt like.
No, there was some point last summer. As Pettingill on this one, okay,
wow.
Back-to-back.
Oh, back-to-back. That one's headed for almost my call.
Be 0-2 count now. Looking to retire the side again. Nice and early so far. Has not made it through four batters. This Alameda Anchors side. But yeah, I remember at some point last year we had a guy foul like three or four off in a row straight back to the parking lot. And that's going to be a strike out there. And Pettingill, first one swinging. It'll be three up, three down. A couple of strikeouts from Pettingill. And a great job by Honinger getting out on a great play up second base by Deegan Paulos.
Yeah, retired in order. Two Ks, and that's his total on the night with a total of four. Great stuff so far from Pettingill as he finished off the first three innings rather quickly. After 2.5, it's 2-0. The Colt 45s lead. Reading, stay cool this summer with Reading Heating and Air. Fast AC repairs and installations by local experts with over 20 years of experience. Visit readingheatingandair.com or call 530-223-1332.
Why do I hear honking? What's the celebration?
Because homeowners can save thousands right now.
And that's worth honking about.
All right, you've got my attention. How?
This year, HVAC prices are jumping. Manufacturers say up to 30%. Equipment, materials, everything.
But right now, we're holding the line, young fella.
Holding the line how?
By doing something most companies won't. We're selling select new systems at cost. No profit.
Wait, at cost?
Yep, you get today's price before next year's increases hit, big incentives, and financing that can mean zero down.
It's real savings. No gimmicks, no funny math.
So homeowners save big.
And Reading Heating and Air keeps their crews working instead of cutting hours.
Feels right to me.
It's called at-cost pricing. The biggest savings event of the year, only from Reading Heating and Air. Learn more at readingheatingair.com. Old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back here to Tiger Field on KCNR, Shasta Reading, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, or online at KCNRradio.com. It is 2-0, the 45 lead, looking to tack on more. Due up is Conklin, Bowen Jr., and Chiarito, here Spencer, to take you the rest of the way through the third inning.
Awesome. Thank you, Jacob. Yeah, Preston Conklin, who had the sacrifice fly that allowed D'Amico Parker to come around and score to open the inning, or to open the night for scoring for the Colt 45s. They lead 2-0, a big swing, but he's not going to get in contact there, a little low pitch. And it's going to be strike one. Swinging in the dirt there is Conklin. Couldn't quite get a piece of it.
Yeah, chase that pitch low and away. So wind picking up and pushing out towards center field. We'll see if we get some long balls next into this ball game. Here's the 0-1 from the righty caught.
That one's going to take a little hop right off the plate and into the glove of catcher Imberg. That'll even the count 1-1. Conklin again with that sacrifice fly coming in the first inning. Just lead off the scoring for D'Amico Parker in this 45's offense. Looking to tag it on some more runs here. As this one's going to get swung on, it's going to get chopped foul. And a little bit of visual anger there from Conklin. He feel like he got a really good piece of that, but it skipped foul pretty quick. That'll bring the count to 1-2.
The visual anger, yeah.
Absolutely.
Looks a little, as I would say, rather upset there, yeah.
There you go. 1-2 count regardless. Still got an opportunity to make something happen here. Caden Kopp peering in. Here's the delivery. Swung on, and it's going to be a foul ball.
They're right off the front leg calf. But I did that the other, 2 weeks ago now. I was on the baseball field at Simpson just to see how far I could hit it, which I can hit a little bit farther than I used to. It's kind of nice. But fouled it off the back of my calf and then off the front of my shin, which really does hurt.
Couldn't have felt nice, huh?
No, it is bone-chilling.
So we'll do it again here. Here's Caden Kopp here again. 1-2. Looks like it's going to miss just high. A really close one there, but it's going to even up the count. As Conklin, that wide stance maybe have saved him there, keeping his...
Drew a check swing, though.
There you go.
But just, yeah, not even really close on the check swing.
Yeah. So it's 2-2 count here. Righty delivers. Swung on. It's going to be up that first and second base line, but it's going to be gathered and on a nice hop. It's a great read there by second baseman Finland, and he will get the put out to Ben Johnston for out number one. And that will be the bottom of the third, how that begins.
Finland with some phenomenal glove work right there. That ball skipped up kind of weird, picked up some speed on that last hop, and the ball was a little bit to his right shoulder as he was moving to his left. And had to reach
Absolutely.
Back for it, gather, and make a quick throw to first. That was just great stuff from the second baseman.
Yeah, very similar to what happened in the last inning, the one he wasn't able to get onto in that error, which ended up leading to bases loaded. This one's going to be hit right back up the mound, and it's going to be, again, gathered by Finland. Not quite going to be able to make the grab, and it's going to be a stand-up single with Patrick Bowen Jr., the first baseman for the Colt 45s. He's going to be sitting on first on the offensive side of things. As the wind is beginning to pick up even more so, it's really ripping now.
Yeah.
It's like, the airwaves here.
Say the Bat Boy Easton. I could feel it in the air. I knew Chad Johnson was going to call some attention to the Bat Boy Easton doing some work, getting his laps in, and yeah, Patrick Bowen Jr. was slogan out of the box. Somehow made it to first in time still, but off the backhanded glove of Paulos over there at second, ranging from second base all the way behind the bag on the rim of the outfield grass. Just off speed, misses wide for ball one to the left hand, hitting Chiarito.
Yeah, and Chiarito, the other, obviously D'Amico Parker in the first, but just last inning, Chiarito being the second runner to come around and score, then hit up that second baseman line, or between that first and second base areas. This one's going to get fouled off over the Colt 45's deck and back towards the team locker room, I believe.
Yeah, right behind the beer garden toward the clubhouse.
Go. They'll even count 1-1 here. Again, a beautiful night out here in Redding, California. Just a great night for some baseball. First full week of June.
Yeah, and what
Can't
was
ask
a,
much more.
It was a rather hot day. Now it's dropped into a nice
right.
chill evening with some cloud cover, shadows covering all of the field now. Runner being held on first, that's Patrick Bowen Jr.
So he misses one high. Threatens to throw, but he won't.
Yeah, just a look back by the catcher
sure.
who, with the left-hand batter, unable to make a clean throw down to first, so Patrick Bowen
yeah.
Jr. with a lot larger of a secondary lead.
2-1 count here. As Chiarito looking to do some more damage on Cott here. Yeah, Adrian Lopez. This one's going to get hit into deep left field. It looks like the left fielder will be under it, and he will, and runners will hold. But a great job there by Carson Sanders, his first bit of action out there in left field. I think first action left field in the entire night so far. I don't think Zanheiser's gotten anything on the other side of things, too.
Yeah.
But it will hold Bowen on first as well. So two outs down.
Carson Sanders, that ball hung up for him. It was playable for him pretty much from the beginning, but it just kind of It looked like it was going to be a little bit deeper, but it hung up there and then just kind of dropped out of the sky. With that wind pushing, again, left to right, pushing down a little bit, it seems.
Adrian Lopez getting his second at-bat, who was stranded last inning, but he got on being hit by a pitch, as he will watch this one for a called ball. Close one there, I think, from Caden Codd. I think he's just barely missing the zone a little. But again, it does fluctuate from batter to batter. 1-0 count here. Runner on first, two outs down in the bottom of third. As this one's going to be hit by a pitch again, it looks like it's going to be contact off the elbow. And a little bit of frustration from Lopez, but didn't look too bad. But the way that ball skipped, you could tell it definitely made contact. Good call from the umpire. Runners will be on first and second now. Two outs down, and that'll be the second time in a row approaching first on a hit by pitch. Back-to-back innings.
Yeah, two plate appearances and no at-bats to show for it.
Yeah.
Bowen Jr. moves up to second base.
And now Arthur Chavez also up, who was hit by a pitch directly after Adrian Lopez was. So the left heel. I'm not sure he would like to get hit by a pitch again. I'm sure he'd like to swing the bat a little bit. But if it loads the bases again, I think he could think of worse things to happen.
Yeah, be my guess. Try and get a hit here, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But it looks like with the stance of Lopez, he hangs over the top part of the zone a little bit with the elbow. He's got hit twice there now. So
yeah.
That would be, and again, with the righty, his pitches have been a little bit more to the right-hand batter side of the plate.
Chavez, big swing, and that's a great pitch there from Caden Cott.
Way out in front of that breaking ball.
Yeah.
It looked like he was looking off-speed, probably fastball. And, yeah, he was way out in front of that pitch. Just looking for something different.
Definitely. 0-1 count, runners on first and second, two outs down here in the bottom of third. Cole 45's lead by a score of 2-0. Here's the pitch just outside again. Even up the count, 1-1. Bowen in scoring position. Not threatening to steal at all from the looks of it.
And the infield playing behind the runners as well.
Right. Here's the pitch swung on. It's going to find some grass. It may bring a run around to score. Heading in is Bowen Jr., and he will come around to score, and that is a good single there. That is going to be an RBI single from Chavez, and that will put runners on the corners and bring a run across. It is now 3-0 in favor of the Colt 45s.
That was great, great piece of hitting. Saw breaking ball, breaking ball, breaking ball, and on the third breaking ball was in on the hands. He turned on it, pushed it out toward right center, got it to drop. It was a little bloop single. Great stuff.
Absolutely. Just finding that open grass in between center and right field. And now due up will be Mark Anthony Carroll, who had a sacrifice fly, who brought Chiarito around in the bottom of the second. So now three innings, three runs, looking to do some more here is Carroll. Two outs down, though. The sacrifice is not in play this time for him, unfortunately, as he'll swing on this one out into the deep parking lot towards... Close one out there, way out there for strike number one.
A couple of fans sauntering in. It was just barely over their heads.
Yeah, hit out towards the library there. Which, if you've been out here at Tiger Field, that is over the dugout and just kept carrying right.
I just way late on that pitch.
0-1 count here. Top peering in, delivers. Swung on there. That one's much better, but it might be right to him. It is going to be to the right fielder. So that will retire the side. Loggio staying right under it. Didn't have to move but a few feet. So the Colt 45s will bring one around, but they will strand two yet again. Back-to-back innings, but they do lead 3-0 here after three.
Redding, stay cool this summer with Redding Heating and Air. Fast AC repairs and installations by local experts. With over 20 years of experience, old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions in Redding, California, and the surrounding areas, give them a call at 530-223-1332.
Why do I hear honking? What's the celebration?
Because homeowners can save thousands right now.
And that's worth honking about.
All right, you've got my attention. How?
This year, HVAC prices are jumping. Manufacturers say up to 30%. Equipment, materials, everything.
But right now, we're holding the line, young fella.
Holding the line how?
By doing something most companies won't. We're selling select new systems at cost. No profit.
Wait, at cost?
Yep, you get today's price before next year's increases hit, big incentives, and financing that can mean zero down.
It's real savings. No gimmicks, no funny math.
So homeowners save big.
And Redding Heating and Air keeps their crews working instead of cutting hours.
Feels right to me.
It's called at-cost pricing. The biggest savings event of the year, only from Redding Heating and Air. Learn more at reddingheatingair.com. Old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field here in Redding, California, as we enter the top of the fourth inning, as the sun is beginning to set here. A 3-0 lead for the Colt 45s. And due up for the anchors, Junior Milan, Ben Johnston, followed by Cam Kingberg, batting the heart of the lineup, 3, 4, and 5, looking to get some offense and get this campaign started. Still looking for that on the offensive side of things. Taking the rest of the way through the fourth inning is Jacob Green.
Thanks, Spencer. Yeah, 3, 4, and 5, the heart of the order, as you said. To face off against Pettingill. Milan, his last time up, was hit by a pitch before he was forced out at second. Dropping down a bunt, it's chopped toward third, charging in and under the glove of the third baseman, Conklin, and safe at first as the element of surprise works for the anchors here, and Milan is four.
There you go. That's a great example. If things aren't working out for you, maybe you just need to switch some things up, you know. Obviously, not exactly the most advised thing, punting with zero outs and zero on, but...
When you got wheels,
you
got wheels, you use them, you know?
Yeah, especially with the good placement right down that third base line. That's a tough one to make a jump on, especially the first pitch of the inning. You're not really expecting that if you're an infield player.
Yeah, and I will say, that should be ruled E6. Or E5, rather.
That is what I put it down for on my scorecard.
So this one misses low and just in front of Chavez. Even though it would have been a bang-bang play over there at first, but, you know, when it hits the glove or misses the glove like that, is some action out in the bullpen. It's the 46 of De'Aaron Johnson. Here's the 1-0 delivery to the right-hand hitter. Misses wide for ball two. Two balls and no strikes on Ben Johnston, who kind of reached on the error his first time up. It was a E4 that resulted in a double play, the 4-1, the 4-3-2 double play. So runner goes. This one's popped up, playable for the right fielder. Lopez charging in, settles underneath it, squeezes it, and no throw back to first after making his way back is Milan. So a pop out to the right fielder for out number one, and Cam Imberg to the plate now, who struck out looking his first time up.
And Milan not being able to advance the second makes it quite the productive out there. Great job by right fielder. That'll be Adrian Lopez getting under that and getting the ball in quickly.
Now that's the right-hand batting, Imberg. Open stance deep in the box. Out of the stretch is Pettingill. This one's chopped foul back toward the on-deck circle, and a fan who, behind the netting, tries to make a play on it. No dice. Colt 45 is looking to twist it on the infield.
Yeah, so far I've been rather impressed with this Colt 45's defense. They've managed to do things well. Obviously, the first thing, they've made quick work of the lineups. No more than four batters in each inning so far. But obviously a little messy at the very start with Pettingill just missing the zone a little bit. But now he looks like he's really found himself, and his defense behind him has really backed him up as well. It's been a great job, great team effort so far.
As the 0-1 misses inside, excellent frame try there from Chavez, but not quite good enough to fool the home plate umpire Cam Gould. Here's the 1-1 delivery with one out. The runner on first, about three steps off. Runner goes. This one's hit in the air toward right center. Should be playable. The right fielder coming on. He'll squeeze it. And the throw back to first on a hop. And wearing it on the chest is the first baseman, Bowen Jr. That's going to hurt tomorrow. But getting back in time is Milan. He was standing on the second base bag when that ball was about to get caught by the right fielder, Lopez. Great. That was phenomenal base running.
Incredible speed from Milan. And then again, as you mentioned, Bowen just wearing that on the chest. So impressive. Basically just put his whole body in front of it. He didn't even try to put his glove up there, I don't think, at that point.
He looked like a third baseman.
And he was just going to try to block it.
Looked like a third baseman or a catcher where they just throw their body at the ball, hope they pin it back down into the dirt.
Like a goalkeeper.
Yeah, or a keeper.
Throwing your whole body at the ball on like a 50-50, you know.
Or shoot, hockey goalie too.
There you go, Stanley Cup.
As and that
The throw from the right fielder was from shallow right field, too, by the way. It wasn't or right center.
Right.
Really shallow right center, probably about 25, 30 feet from the infield dirt. So it was a close throw as well. Now this one misses low in the dirt and look back to first, but
yeah,
no throw as Kroon the righty to the plate.
Yeah, that was a great point, Jacob, as well. Just like he did not miss by much there that throw with how far out he was. That was yeah, as you mentioned, like almost
and
shallow
Bowen,
center field coming to first base. That's a long throw.
Bowen just wearing it after it comes in on a hop and just
yeah.
I mean, taking it as it was swing and a miss goes fishing, comes up empty to even the count up. As just kind of taking the sentence right there. He knew it was about to happen and then tried to, again, pin it down, stay in front of it, and he did. It caromed off his chest to about 5 feet away on the infield dirt, kept the runner at first base. Here's the 1-1 delivery from the righty out of the stretch with the runner at first, being held on by Bowen Jr. at first. Breaking ball misses inside.
Yeah, it looked a little inside for the umpire's liking, but I've seen some similar that he's called a strike so far for Pettingill.
That's where the hesitation in my voice came from.
Sure.
I thought that was going to be called strike too. Now two balls and one strike here in a 3-0 top of the fourth inning. The 2-1 delivery from the righty as he checks the runner at first. The runner leaning doesn't go. Line shot into center field for a base hit. It will get down as Parker plays it back quickly, hits the cutoff man, the shortstop, Mark Anthony Carroll, with a whirl and a bluff back to first. He'll flip it to the pitcher as the lights come on here at Tiger Field. Very long ways away from taking full effect. Now two gone, but some traffic on the base paths with runners at first and second for the solid knock from Kaven Kroon. We'll bring up Marcos Lagios, the right fielder who singled his first time up. That was back in the second inning.
As you mentioned there, just a nice knock there. It's about as good as you can call it there, Jacob, from Kroon. Just that's about perfect dictionary definition of what a knock would be in baseball. Just right over the top, into the outfield, takes a couple hops, and obviously nowhere close to it was D'Amico Parker. Not expected to be, of course, but he's able to get up and get in, as you mentioned, hitting the Mark Anthony Carroll, the cutoff man.
And now we're going to get a pinch runner out it. This is not something you see every day. We're getting a pinch runner at third because it looked like he pulled his hamstring or something in his leg. That is the 2 of Junior Milan. So we'll get a pinch runner after he moves up to second base. It's going to be the player who was out catching the player warming up, which was De'Aaron Johnson. So the bullpen catcher, essentially, is now coming to the game as a pinch runner, and talk about a first for everything. And not only that, but we don't have a name for number 31. After we get a photocopy of the lineups before the game, and that part of the photocopy is absolutely nothing in there. So once we get a name read to us by Chad Johnson, which will hopefully come momentarily, we'll get you that name. But out at second base is a new runner. This one's fouled off. Where the on-deck circle for strike one by Marcos Lagios. Runners at first and second, 3-0 ball game, top of the fourth here on KCNR with the mystery pinch runner over there at second base, rather. And coming in as a pinch runner, and I don't know where he'll go positionally speaking. Wide open stance for the righty Lagios. The 0-1 is chopped up the middle. Gloved off the glove. Caroms into center field. D'Amico Parker gloves, and he's going to hold on to it. Rounding third and coming into score. He thought about going home, but decided to just play it safe, let the run come into score, and hold the runners at first and second. They would have advanced on the throw. Came up ready to hook it in, but just flipped to the cutoff man as the pinch runner comes around to score. And holding it second is Kroon, but up to first is Lagos after the base hit. A couple of hits now back to back. We'll bring up Carson Sanders, the left fielder who K'd looking his last time up.
Yeah, and I do think it's a good choice by Parker, just eating that one, deciding not to make that big throw in. As you mentioned, runners would have advanced another 90 feet.
But this one's lined into left for a base hit. Rounding third is Kroon, and he's going to throw on the brakes as the stop sign is thrown up by Jerry Gibbs. Now Eric Winchester, before that ball is even made the throw back to Pettingill, Eric Winchester was out of the dugout, ready to
ready to slow things down after three straight hard hit baseballs.
Yeah, it's great hitting, and this Alameda Anchors team has really come to life now, and you got just the tying run in scoring position now, obviously. Haven't seen much offense from the Alameda Anchors, but you see here, just in the fourth inning, the Colt 45s haven't done a ton either. So it's just how quick a game can turn on its head. Two pitches has turned the game from 3-0 and two outs, or an out away from retiring the side, to 3-1, and now tying run in scoring position.
Yeah, now Honinger due up for the Anchors. He grounded out his last time up. The whole infield gathered on the mound to, again, chat things up.
Yeah, another thing you don't see every day is Honinger as the designated hitter, as you mentioned earlier, Jacob, at the bottom of the lineup, batting ninth. But, hey, sometimes you just want to balance it out and make sure everything looks good.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's just due to the nature of his bat, his speed, or rounding up the lineup. He can flip it over, but, I mean, he's, well, gosh, probably, what, 6'5" frame? 6'5", probably 190?
I think so. 6'5" sounds about right.
That is a tall guy out there. Grant Honinger. There's the first pitch to the left-hand hitter. Bounced in the dirt, blocked by Chavez. Arthur Chavez stands at 6'2" out of Colton, California. And he's probably 5 inches shorter. Like, Honinger towering over Chavez there.
Yeah.
When they both stand up, obviously.
Right.
Here's a 1-0. It's a line shot toward left. Sanizer will have to play it on a hop. It's over toward the line, rounding third behind. Troom trotting into score play at the plate on a hop. Goes through. It's corralled by Pettingill. And into second base with a double. And holding at third is Sanders. So Sanders holds at third. Troom trotted in to score. Loggios came all the way around to score. It was going to be a play at the plate, but on the hop throw by Zanizer went over the catcher's head, corralled by Pettingill to hold the runners at second and third. Honinger with the single and then advancing on the throw.
Yeah, and it would have been really close if Chavez was able to corral that ball and get his glove down. Coming across was Loggios.
And after an error and four hits, it's a 3-3 ball game. We're all knotted up here. This one misses wide. The runners hold at second and third. As the top of the order to the plate with Robbie Fentlin, who's singled, and Cade looking tonight. There's a 1-0. Pettingill working from the third base side of the rubber.
And runners on second and third as well here. This game is totally flipped on its head.
Popped foul over the plate, back behind the backstop, rather. And a game that started out a little bit more melodic, back and forth kind of swinging, is now all evened up and had a lot of action here in this third inning.
Yeah, this two-out rally here from the Anchors, it's really come to life.
Here's the 1-1 with two runners in scoring position. Hopped up foul again.
A K from Pettingill here would be a great way to retire this side in the top of the fourth.
Now as he peers in, it is catcher Chavez's battery mate. One ball and two strikes with two gone. Runners at second and third of a 3-3 ball game. The 1-2 is hit in the air toward right. Playable for Lopez coming on and will squeeze it on the run. The side is finally retired, but the Anchors, four hits and they score three runs. We're all knotted up. They leave two aboard. After 3.5, it's 3-3. The Anchor and the 45s all tied up.
Reading area, stay cool this summer with Reading Heating and Air. Fast AC repairs and installations by local experts with over 20 years of experience. Visit readingheatingandair.com or call 530-223-1332. That's 530-223-1332.
Why do I hear honking? What's the celebration?
Because homeowners can save thousands right now.
And that's worth honking about.
All right, you've got my attention. How?
This year, HVAC prices are jumping. Manufacturers say up to 30%. Equipment, materials, everything.
But right now, we're holding the line, young fella.
Holding the line how?
By doing something most companies won't. We're selling select new systems at cost. No profit.
Wait, at cost?
Yep, you get today's price before next year's increases hit, big incentives, and financing that can mean zero down.
It's real savings. No gimmicks, no funny math.
So homeowners save big.
And Redding Heating and Air keeps their crews working instead of cutting hours.
Feels right to me.
It's called at-cost pricing. The biggest savings event of the year, only from Redding Heating and Air. Learn more at reddingheatingair.com. Old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Tiger Field here in Redding, California. Jacob Green and Spencer Schlange here with you. Alameda put three on the board in the top of the fourth. Now the 45s will send the bottom of the order in Deegan Paulos, and then the top of the order in Tyler Zanizer and D'Amico Parker late here in the bottom half, all knotted up at three apiece. The lights on here at Tiger Field, partly cloudy skies overhead, mostly blue all around us. It's great to have you with us here for this Friday night edition of Colt 45's Baseball. Jacob Green and Spencer Schlange here with you. First pitch, breaking ball, called strike one, drawing a swing and a miss from the nine hitter and the second baseman, Deegan Paulos, who has been busy over there tonight so far.
Yeah, and again, this game really getting flipped on its head there in the past inning. Three, yeah, as you mentioned, four hits and a few more errors, hit by pitch, walks, whatever it was. Can't entirely remember.
Now, a cut and a miss there for strike two. Yeah, lots of action there in the third. The Colt 45 sending six batters to the plate and eight sent to the plate for Alameda. Here's the 0-2 with nobody out and nobody on to the nine-hitting Deegan Paulos. Breaking ball misses way up and away.
And again, Caden caught in his fourth inning of burn here. Got a few strikeouts to his name. Or a couple two strikeouts, both swinging here. Starting with Tyler Zanizer, and then Deegan Paulos is last up here in the bottom of the second.
Here's a 1-2, check swing, misses low and away. Appeal to first, and he went around. Wow. Steve Graves calls him out on strike, says he went around. And this, that's the out number one of this side of the bottom of the fourth. Now Tyler Zanizer with the top of the order to the plate. Patrolling left field tonight, as per typical. He has struck out swinging and singled before he was erased at second base. Grounds this one toward the second baseman, Finland. Glove slips to first in time for the 4-3. That is out number two, first pitch swinging from Tyler Zanizer. The Zan Man, does that work?
There you go.
Can we call him that?
There you go.
Your friend.
I call him TZ Too Breezy. For Tyler Zanizer, TZ. That's usually what I go with, but TZ, I'm a man of a lot of nicknames. I got tons of nicknames. We could think of one.
Yeah, how many do you have personally?
Believe it or not, my soccer coach when I was in middle school called me Spanky just on accident, just cause, and it stuck. That's my name for most things now. I think in high school people didn't know me as Spencer. It was more Spanky for sure.
That's hilarious.
I still have some teammates that call me Spanky.
Spanky is in Mike. A little rascal?
Yes. Oh, right. Okay. But, like, I think the story that came from it was he was writing the names for the starting 11, and he wrote Spencer, and it was super neat and clean. So I was like, oh, I love the way you wrote my name. And then he erased it, and he's like, is that better? And wrote Spanky just for some reason. And I was like, all right. I guess that's what we're going with.
Some bounced in.
Rest is history.
For ball two. Now the rest is history. That's, I mean, yeah. I don't even know what to say about that, to be honest. I had something, and then it's just. It's gone.
I did the little, we used to do in high school, I'd be walking in the halls and people call me Spanky. I'd do a little rascals wave with the hand under the chin, the little password to get in. Great times.
It's a throwback. I'm so old, I watched Little Rascals on VHS tapes in black and white at my grandparents.
There you go.
That ages me so hard. This one bounced in there for ball three.
Yeah, all right, back to baseball. Here we go.
Yeah, I was going
to
say,
here we go.
I say ages me, but we're calling a baseball game on the radio, which, I mean, now the new, the new standard, the major league standard, is on live podcasts and stuff.
Right.
But yeah, it's just the way baseball was meant to be listened to. Is the 3-0 right on the outside corner at the knees for a called strike one to the right hand, hitting D'Amico Parker with two gone.
here in the top of the fourth inning of a 3-3 ball game, and our producer Alex Parker back in the studio with typed in the chat Spanky with a question mark, the 3-1. Chopper, the second baseman, handles the secondary hop off the glove, off the infield grass, carries away back behind second base, and Parker safe at first on the infield single.
A lot of action there from Fentlin tonight. Getting a little bit unlucky with these infield hops as that one. He was floating off the ground for a little bit and just tips off the glove.
He learned from that play earlier because he kind of hung back a little bit, waited for that weird hop off the lip, hung back, and then was ready to quite literally rise to the occasion and then went off the tip of his glove. And that's nothing more frustrating than making the adjustment and then the adjustment not working. This is when this is low, picked up by the catcher, throw down to second base on a hop, tag it wide. Not in time. Parker steals second base.
Incredible speed. It could not have been done much better by that anchor defense as well.
Yeah, it kicked around between the legs of Emberg. Momentarily picked it up with a bare hand, hucked it to second base, and the tag right on the money, but not in time for D'Amico Parker, who got in there with a stolen base. As the wind now really pushing out toward right center field to the right of the 406 sign. This is up and away for ball two to Preston Conklin, who had that sacrifice fly to center, and then the ground out to second base. Rick Pacetti, the GM, I swear he put a ramp over there on the infield grass just with a visiting second baseman had to deal with the ball just flipping up where it's kind of funny how the ball's been hit to the same place like three or four times. It's came differently every time. Well, and a bluff back towards second base by the catcher, like, on the pitch in was wide of the plate on the back end, too. And a favorite throw back to second to keep the margin. D'Amico Parker close. Three. Got about a third of the way down the baseline. Third. Made his way back. Here's the 3-0 delivery. This is inside for ball four. It's a four-pitch walk issue to Conklin. That'll put runners on first and second. The first walk of the night. Wow. We've had more errors and we've had more hit batsmen than we've had walks. Yeah, well, that was last week. This place turned into a long very early. And again, with that wind pushing out, anything hitting up in the air toward right field, especially with a left-hand batter like right here, it might get out of the fence. Checks the lead runner at second, infield playing behind the runners. First pitch to the left-hand hitting Bowen Jr. called strike one right there on the outer half. And I don't remember if you were on the call or not. You called a bunch of games with me this last season, but Owen Hayes was batting for the Redhawks. And it was a windy day at the yard. Here's the 0-1 from Cott as he checks the runners again out of the stretch, kicks and deals. This is in the dirt. Great pick by the catcher again, Emberg. He has been active back there tonight.
Put to work, that's for sure.
And I said, with the wind blowing so far left to right, anything pulled down the line is going to end up in left center field. And then I believe it was the next pitch or two pitches later, Owen Hayes was absolutely hammered. Owen Hayes with a 4-225 frame, so use your imagination on how much muscle he has, but he muscled it out. This one misses inside.
No, I went with the opposite of what you said.
Yeah, I knew it was against
the Celtics. Oh, my God. Right. That was funny. I feel like every baseball game I called with you, the wind was just whipping.
Yeah.
At Simpson University, which is just so funny.
And, I mean, that's why I love calling indoor sports like basketball, because you can wear a polo and pants. You don't dive. He shrugs. This one's grounded toward the first base, and Johnston gathers, and he will take it himself on a three, unassisted. Size is retired, but the Colt 45 strand a pair aboard, as they've done pretty much every inning now, except for the first, as we are through four here at Tiger Field, all knotted up at three.
Yeah, I know.
Why do I hear honking? What's the celebration?
Because homeowners can save thousands right now.
And that's worth honking about.
All right, you've got my attention. How?
This year, HVAC prices are jumping. Manufacturers say up to 30%. Equipment, materials, everything.
But right now, we're holding the line, young fella.
Holding the line how?
By doing something most companies won't. That's we're selling select new systems at cost. No profit.
Wait, at cost?
Yep, you get today's price before next year's increases hit, big incentives, and financing that can mean zero down.
It's real savings. No gimmicks, no funny math.
So homeowners save big.
And Redding Heating and Air keeps their crews working instead of cutting hours.
Feels right to me.
It's called at-cost pricing. The biggest savings event of the year, only from Redding Heating and Air. Learn more at RedingHeatingAir.com. Old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions.
When a heat hits hard, Redding Heating and Air is here to keep you comfortable throughout the summer. From fast, reliable repairs to full system installs, our certified technicians do it right the first time. Need clean air? We've got indoor air quality solutions too. Family-owned, locally trusted. Call Redding Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642. That's 530-221-2642. Or visit RedingHeatingAndAir.com. Redding Heating and Air. Comfort you can count on.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Top of the Inning. Tyler Shepard on in the lead. First pitch misses upstairs. 4-1 to the right-hand hitting third baseman, Alec Nava. Open stance for the righty. Shepard kicks and delivers on the outside corner to even the count up at 1-1. The southpaw on in relief, taking things over for Lucas Pettingill, who gave up 3 runs on 6 hits. Here's the 1-1 as the lefty comes set from the third base side, kicks and deals, misses up and away for 2. 2-1 with nobody out. He'll step back into the box with an open stance. Readies and deals. Misses just a bit low in the southern hemisphere for 3. 3-1 with nobody out. Nava, Milan, and Johnston do up for the anchors. 3-1 misses wide, and Shepard walks the leadoff man here in the 5th. We've just begun things here, and Shepard had a couple of outings last weekend as well, and then had a season with the Colt 45s this last year. We saw him a handful of times on the call. As the new shortstop, number 31, if we get it from Chad Johnson, who has the same lineup card debacle as we do, this one. Downstand blocked by the catcher, Chavez, keeps it in front of him, and great job keeping it in front of him as Wolf in the process to keep it corralled. So right-hand batting number 31, whom I guess shall not be named in this case, fouls it off toward the parking lot on a couple of hops toward my car, and thankfully, doesn't plunk it. So 1-1. This one's popped up back behind second. Marquez de Nicaro playable for him, and he'll squeeze it for out number 1.
Yeah, that one sat in the air for a little bit, but Anthony Carroll doing a great job just getting under it. Right between him and the second baseman, obviously, just called him off. So let me snag that one. Hold the runner.
And now the right-hand hitting Ben Johnston to the plate, the first baseman, who also stands probably about 6'5" or so.
a couple of really tall guys on this Anchors team. And I, as we've mentioned a couple of times when talking to the head coach, missing quite a few guys so far, obviously just finishing up school or not able to make the trip with whatever's going on in the first week of June for everyone, graduation, stuff like that.
Yeah, just, I mean, 13 players missing is a lot.
Yeah.
This first pitch in there for a called strike one.
So regardless,
upstairs, throw down to first base on the back pick, tag applied, not in time. And personally, I don't know if I agree with home plate umpire Steve Graves' call over there, but I'm not wearing blue. So
there you go.
What does it really matter anyway, you know? It was on the tag came in on the front leg, or the right leg, rather, of the runner over there diving in head first. Now the runner goes, huge jump, throw inside, throw down to second base on a hop wide of the bag, and not in time. Easily stealing second base is Alec Nava.
Yeah, it's great speed there from Nava. Getting dirty head first right there. But getting into scoring position here, one out down in the top of the fourth, and the leading run is in scoring position now, and the Anchors, just 20 minutes ago, if you told them they'd be having the leading run in scoring position, they would be ecstatic, as it was just 3-0, what feels like a few minutes ago.
And now a runner, the go-ahead run in scoring position, rather, for the right-hand hitter on the 1-2 delivery after that pitch was taken for a strike. Swing! And this blew it by him, and it's doors for Ben Johnston as he'll head back to the dugout. He's out number two.
Yeah, that's a great K there from Tyler Shepard. That's about as productive of an out as he would like. Obviously, we've said it's double play, but with second base, Nava being on second base, not much you can do there with the double play besides the tag. But now they got a chance to retire the inning as the catcher Imberg will dig into the plate for his third attempt.
He's
that bad.
Struck out looking and flown out tonight. The first pitch misses up and in. Now 1-0 with two outs. The catcher for the 45, so again, has been busy back as the battery mate of Caden Cott. Here's a 1-0 to the righty. Wide open stance deep in the box. Shepard delivers. Swing and a miss. Went fishing for the breaking ball way down low and got him to chase it.
Yeah, and even the crowd getting involved there with that swing. That was either all or nothing right there.
Yeah.
Ended up coming up with nothing.
Looking to golf it out.
There you go.
Now one ball and one strike. Shepard, glove at the belt, comes set from that third base side, dancing off the bag at second is Nava. Here's the 1-1. Breaking ball again on the inside corner. Just misses. Draws the check swing as count moves to two balls and one strike, which is a hitter's count.
Now the crowd slowly getting their way back into it with these calls, getting a little less patient with the guy behind the plate making the calls.
Yeah, some
little chatter.
After the third inning where pretty much no at-bat was extended deep into the count. Here's the 2-1. Misses upstairs for ball three. Now Shepard needing to throw a strike here. Anticipate that breaking ball coming in again.
Yeah, absolutely. Two outs down. Just a reminder, 3-3 here in the top of five.
All knotted up here in a very paramount fifth inning. So we are about to be halfway through our ball game. Now the runner goes. Huge jump. Swing and a miss. We're down to third base. Tag applied. And that was strike two. I think a lot of people thought it was strike three, but it was strike two as the count fills at three balls and two strikes. And then the throw down to third. They're saying the tag was applied in time. Bob Anderson's going to chat it up with Cam Rule. And might have been, not sure exactly what happened.
It's funny, as I absolutely thought it was strike three as well. And then I look at my scorecard, and my scorecard said only one strike down, a 3-1 count. And so I was also a little confused, so I didn't even look much at that third base, that throw from, obviously.
Yeah, it was also so hard to see, too.
Right.
But you just, it was a bang-bang play over there at third. And this one, swing and a miss, and then the side is retired. We're halfway through our ball game. tonight. After 4.5, we're all knotted up at 3. Leadoff walk perishes over there 90 feet away after the side is retired. Here from Tagger Field, all knotted up at 3. Tonight's game is sponsored by Redding Heating and Air. Give them a call at 530-223-1332 or visit them online at reddingheatingandair.com for any 24/7 fast AC repairs and installations by local experts with over 20 years of experience.
Why do I hear honking? What's the celebration?
Because homeowners can save thousands right now.
And that's worth honking about.
All right, you've got my attention. How?
This year, HVAC prices are jumping. Manufacturers say up to 30%. Equipment, materials, everything.
But right now, we're holding the line, young fella.
Holding the line how?
By doing something most companies won't. We're selling select new systems at cost. No profit.
Wait, at cost?
Yep, you get today's price before next year's increases hit, big incentives, and financing that can mean zero down.
It's real savings. No gimmicks, no funny math.
So homeowners save big.
And Redding Heating and Air keeps their crews working instead of cutting hours.
Feels right to me.
It's called at-cost pricing. The biggest savings event of the year, only from Redding Heating and Air. Learn more at reddingheatingair.com. Old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions.
Welcome back to Tagger Field, where the Colt 45 is looking to undo this knotted up ball game. It's Darian Johnson on in relief for the Anchors. And he will step into this ball game to relieve Mr. Caden Cott of his duties. 4 innings, 3 hits, 3 runs with 1 walk and a handful of Ks. And he'll face off against 5, 6, and 7, Braden Chiarito, Adrian Lopez, and Arthur Chavez. I wonder if it's Adrian Lopez, Puerto Rico native. As, again, on the back half of our ball game here tonight at Tagger Field, the lights are on as the lights have taken full effect as we enter the crepuscule hour and the sunset all around us, some pink clouds, blue skies, turning that darker shade of blue now after Johnson concludes his warm-up tosses, the throw down to second base by the catcher Emberg. We will get underway with the left-hand hitting Braden Chiarito leading things off here in the bottom of the fifth. As we have the number one bar song in America playing in the background here for the fifth inning.
There you go.
Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond. I was thinking of the artist and couldn't think of the song for a second. I mean, we hear it every game, you know, in the fifth inning. One of the traditions here at the historic Tagger Field and the hesitation delivery. That's a strike right down Broadway to the left-hand hitting Chiarito. A little bit of a Johnny Cueto kind of hesitation with the leg kick. Yeah. Up in the air, wavering back and forth a little bit. A little teeter-totter action.
Yeah, and just right at about the halfway point, 2 new pitchers.
Fouled up and over, the backstop for strike 2. As that one flunks off of someone's car over there. As the left-hand hitter in an 0-2 hole. With nobody out here in a knotted up ball game in the bottom of the fifth. We're all knotted up at 3. Outfield shifted way toward left in center field. There's a line shot toward the right center gap on the screws. It's going to go all the way to the wall. Over to play the carom is Lagios. Rounding first, headed for 2. He's going to hit the bag at second, headed for 3. The cutoff throw, the throw on a hop, tag applied. And 8. My goodness, Loggio to Milan to the third baseman, Navin out at third as upset is Chiarito. He thought he was in there safe, and he starts arguing with the umpire over there. A swim move in the process, but the tag applied in time. 8-6-5. Wow. And that is out number one. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and an aggressive take for three there from Chiarito, and he was so close. That was a very close call. I'm not sure whether it was right or wrong, obviously, from where we're sitting as a check swing here from Lopez. Appeal, say no. So it'll be, oh, they said he did go, so it'll be strike one there.
And that throw came in on a couple of hops. It was on the home plate side of the third base bag. The third baseman, Nava, had to go get it and then head back to the bag. And I was, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, great play. Here's a line shot toward left center, headed out toward the scoreboard on a hop. Short hops the wall, picked up by the center fielder, Kroom, and rounding second, but holding it second as the throw comes in on a handful of hops from the center fielder, Kroom. And cruising into second base with a stand-up double is Lopez. And I really thought he was going to head for three there. He had a better chance than the previous batter, Chiarito, did.
Yeah, possibly. And, yeah, that ball hopped off the wall, and then Kroom went down to pick it up. It looked like it took another bounce off the warning track or something and skipped a little bit. So I don't know if Lopez didn't see that. But obviously, you just want to get in scoring position at that point after just witnessing that very unfortunate opportunity at triple being taken away, obviously, from the guy right in front of him. So,
and it's a brick wall out there. So the ball kind of bounces weird,
right,
as it were, anyways, because it's not completely flush like most walls. As a pirouette by the backstop, Imberg, on the snaring of the ball to his left. 1-0 on the left hand, hitting Arthur Chavez. And, yeah, the carom played, but off the wall. It kind of died. It skipped up in the air a little bit more, took a little bit off the ball, and then this one's line foul down the right field side beyond the Alameda Anchor dugout. Whereas normally, Kroom, the center fielder, was perfectly placed.
Right.
But in this case, with a little bit of velocity being taken off that ball, no dice.
Fortunate now off that hit from Aiden Lopez, that incredible double. Chiarito would have definitely come around to score if he just held on second. Obviously, he couldn't have known that. And, again, it was a very bang-bang play. Could have gone either way.
Breaking ball misses up and away. And, yeah, hindsight's always 20-20. But, I mean, you don't ever expect a relay that good to beat the runner at third. But also with the swim move, and for all we know, he was in there safe. But,
right.
I mean, the call comes in, he's out. It was just halfway between second and third when the throw's rolling in, and the throw beats you to the bag, and you still get there, and it's a bang-bang play. That was great stuff from Chiarito. Now this one misses to make the count 3-1. Here's a 3-1 delivery from the righty out of the stretch. This is inside for 4. That'll put runners on first and second. And this, in that delivery, Johnson with no hesitation in his delivery.
Yeah, and just one out down so far as well. Runners in scoring position. Bottom of the fifth. 3-3 still in a standoff. Anchors bringing all their runs around in the top of the fourth, whereas Colt 45 scored 1-1. 1-2 and 1-3, and they've had a gap there with that last half inning, which the fourth inning is relatively more or less the difference in this game.
Yeah, the third and fifth innings have been, at this point, the benchmarkers, or the bookmarkers, rather.
Right.
This is first pitch to Mark Anthony Carroll, misses for 1. And they might be indicative of the result of this ball game, but we shall see. Runners at first and second, infield playing behind the 1-0 is a ground ball toward the shortstop, charging, throw off balance toward first on a hop, picked at the other end and safe at first. Everyone's going to be safe as everyone moves up 90 feet. Great hustle from Mark Anthony Carroll on the infield single. It was to the third base side of the shortstop, who had to charge it, glove off balance on the weak ground ball. And now out to chat things over is head coach Jerry Gibbs, just to see what exactly happened.
Yeah, and that's great speed from Mark Anthony Carroll. A great play from the infield there. That anchors defense. Kept the runners from advancing home, obviously, with that look off. But making a great throw as well. It's just the speed from Mark Anthony Carroll. Unmatched there to load the bases now. Just one out. Barring a double play, should be able to score a run here. Obviously a strikeout, too. If you put the ball in play, things are looking good.
And also, Faintland now at shortstop, or Fintland rather. Fintland now at shortstop, so forgot to mention that. This one's popped up, shallow right, camping for it as the second baseman. He'll settle underneath it, and over the shoulder, reaching back as he almost overran it for out number two as Paulos pops out. Now we'll bring up the top of the order. So Carson Sanders from left field is now at second base. So Sanders in from left will place Fentlin at second. So I'm not sure who's in left.
Yeah.
Maybe who's on first? Batter. What's on second? You know, that whole thing. Breaking ball misses upstairs to the top of the order and Tyler Zanizer for ball one here in the bottom of the fifth inning on the back half of our ball game. 1-0 with two outs, all knotted up at three apiece. Bases loaded. The lights have taken full effect. How can you not be romantic about baseball? Here's the 1-0 from the righty. Swing and a miss. Chases it down low to even the count up at one ball and one strike.
Yeah, two outs down, bases loaded. I think Zanizer just wanted that one. Swinging as hard as he can. He always does, that's for sure, and lead up the lineup. Not much to lose with two outs. Tie ball game as well.
The 1-1 is chopped toward the third baseman. Glove, great pick, throw to first, off balance, pick, not because he's through in foul territory. Coming to score, and then around third, coming to score is Timmy Ayers. Two runs will score, and an additional 90 feet awarded. I take that back, not awarded to Mark Anthony Carroll, so he'll stay at third as two runs come in to score on the E5.
Yeah, definitely a tough play to make. He did the hard part, though, I feel like, making an incredible grab right off the infield grass on a little skipper from Zanizer, and then that throw, obviously, across the body on one foot. Unfortunately, not able to hit the spot there. And two runs are going to come across, and that will really flip the game on its head now. It's 5-3, two runners in scoring position now, and a great batter in D'Amico Parker up as well.
Yeah, and on that errant throw by the third baseman, it went wide of the bag at first and then went out of play where there's no wall beyond the dugout there, so it's literally where that line is, and it goes all the way into out-of-play territory. So an additional 90 feet awarded on the E5. That puts the 45s up by two. It's 5-3 now with two runners in scoring position as Lopez came in to score, and then Ayers around third was able to come in behind him. Mark Anthony Carroll moved up to third. Zanizer ends up at second base, and it's a 1-0 count to the right hand hitting D'Amico Clark. Here's the 1-0. Carroll running up and down the third baseline. Pitch taken inside for ball two as pandemonium has started to break out here at Tiger Field.
Yeah, and it may have been a little anticlimactic based off the hit, but a two-run RBI there for Tyler Zanizer at the top of the lineup to give them this edge.
Mark Anthony Carroll dashing away from third. The throw to the third baseman almost escaped the clutches of Nava, the third baseman, as the pitcher, Johnson, came off the mound, charging toward third, holding the ball in his throwing hand. And Mark Anthony Carroll had to dash back toward third, dive in head first, barely got there.
Yeah, he looked ready to go home there. He was all the way off.
Doing his Jackie Robinson impression from 42.
That was impressive.
That was straight out of the movie. That was crazy. Which is also something Jackie Robinson was known for. It's Mark Anthony Carroll just running about a third of the way down the baseline and then makes his way back. Now Bob Anderson coming out to chat it up with the field umpire, asking if that's a balk or not on the hesitation move, right, where he hesitates. The pitcher lifting his leg, starts his motion toward home, right? Lifts his leg, kind of wavers, but because his leg swings forward and then backward, he's asking if that's a balk or not. And it is up to the discretion of the umpire, and in this case, a balk call is pretty much open to interpretation. We don't have field mics, so
right.
Obnubulation is going to reign supreme. There's your big word of the day, obnubulation. Y'all can look that up in the dictionary.
And Darion Johnson, for sure, I'm curious how often he does get challenged for balks.
Here's the 3-0. This is way upstairs. That will load the bases. As the four-pitch walk is issued. That's the second walk of the inning.
And much like Zanizer, this is exactly what you want from Preston, if you're Preston Conklin as well. Bases loaded, two outs, chance to really open this game up.
And if you're the Alameda Anchors, this is exactly what you don't want because they are short-staffed tonight and specifically in the pitcher department.
Right.
There's a line shot through the 5-6 for a clean base hit. Trotting to score is Carroll, rounding third and coming to score the throw home on a couple of hops. Not going to be in time. And it's an RBI double for Preston Conklin. First pitch swinging, punches it into left field for the base hit. As he gets the two RBI single, advances to second base on the throw.
Terrell comes in to score, and then Zanizer rounding third comes in behind him.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
7-3 here on KCNR, Shasta Redding, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, or online at KCNRradio.com. I'm Jacob Green here with Spencer Schlange. It's great to have you with us as the 45s now have the lead here in the bottom of the fifth inning. It's 7-3 for the left-hand hitting Patrick Bowen Jr.
There you go. Why waste your time? As Bowen will watch this one low and away for ball one. So why waste your time if you're Conklin? Bases loaded, two outs, just as we said, exactly where he wanted to be. He just puts that one on a rope right between this shortstop and third base, man, and it's going to make its way through, just attacking that first pitch exactly how you want it, exactly how we drew it up, I'm sure.
That's called getting barreled.
Absolutely.
Absolutely smoked it through the 5-6 hole. Just wham, into left field for a clean base hit. That's what happens when I look like a fastball just left out over the plate and able to stay on top of it was Conklin. Stay on time as well. Here's a 2-0 delivery to the lefty. Misses wide for ball three as the ninth batter of the inning is at the plate. As the 45s are up by a score of 7-3 here in the bottom of the fifth. Now back up the backslip of the mound is Johnson. Peers in. Comes set from the third base side of the rubber. Kicks and deals the 3-0 right there on the outer half at the knees. A called strike one with that hesitation in his delivery with the leg kick. There's two outs. He's looking to get out of the inning with, at this point, what will seem as minimal damage with two runners aboard here and two gone. The 3-1 delivery with the runners on second and third misses wide. That will still take it back. That will be ball four and fill the bases. Skip some words there as it's another walk here in the inning.
They've officially batted all the way around for the third time now. It'll be bases loaded with two outs down, and we'll see if the two-out rally can continue for the Colt 45s as they gave that up in the fourth inning, of course. But they're looking to find themselves here again offensively, and they have more than doubled their score here just on the last three at-batters.
And there is no activity out in the Alameda Anchor bullpen, the infield now playing behind the runners. So you have to assume not only is this Johnson's inning to finish as he delivers a strike right there on the outside corner at the knees, as it's the designated hitter, Braden Chiarito, who's reached on the E4, flown out, and then was, to begin the inning, thrown out at third base, trying for the three-bagger. Here's the 0-1. There's a ground ball toward the shortstop on the backhand. Strong throw to first. Kick at the other end. No good. Coming in to score was Clark. Now around third and in to score. Right behind him is Conklin. And holding at third. Wow, what a sequence there. And then coming around right behind him as well. So three runners scored. What was it? Bases clearing.
Looks like two infield of the runners came across to score off the single there.
There was a lot of 45s players all on the field at one point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Safe at first, obviously, on the E6. And then holding at third, rather, was the trailing runner, number 19, Patrick Bowen Jr., who made his way all the way around from first.
Right.
So that's where getting on the scorecard. Holy Toledo. Just absolutely mess of a spreadsheet right
absolutely.
Now, let me tell you.
It always gets to that point during the middle of the game, I feel like. It's hilarious.
Now the runner goes from first and then gets back to first. Initial move as Adrian Lopez working a 1-1 count after the swing and a miss there. Runners at the corners with two outs. 9-3. The 45s have blown it wide open here, scored six runs in the bottom half of this inning. Here's the 1-1 delivery. Off speed on the outside corner for strike two. Now open stance for the righty. Runners take their leads from the corner. The 1-2 swung on and missed, or tipped it into the glove of the catcher. Imberger holds on, and the side is finally retired. But the 45s put up six runs here on way too many hits to count and a couple of errors. They leave two aboard after five complete. It's 9-3, the 45s lead here on KCNR.
Reading area, stay cool this summer with Reading Heating and Air. Fast AC repairs and installations by local experts with over 20 years of experience. Visit Redding Heating and Air or call 530-223-1332. That's 530-223-1332.
Why do I hear honking? What's the celebration?
Because homeowners can save thousands right now.
And that's worth honking about.
All right, you've got my attention. How?
This year, HVAC prices are jumping. Manufacturers say up to 30%. Equipment, materials, everything.
But right now, we're holding the line, young fella.
Holding the line how?
By doing something most companies won't. We're selling select new systems at cost. No profit.
Wait, at cost?
Yep, you get today's price before next year's increases hit, big incentives, and financing that can mean zero down.
It's real savings. No gimmicks, no funny math.
So homeowners save big.
And Redding Heating and Air keeps their crews working instead of cutting hours.
Feels right to me.
It's called at-cost pricing. The biggest savings event of the year, only from Redding Heating and Air. Learn more at reddingheatingair.com. Old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions.
When a heat hits hard, Redding Heating and Air is here to keep you comfortable throughout the summer. From fast, reliable repairs to full system installs, our certified technicians do it right the first time. Need clean air? We've got indoor air quality solutions too. Family owned, locally trusted. Call Redding Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642. That's 530-221-2642. Or visit reddingheatingandair.com. Redding Heating and Air. Comfort you can count on.
Jacob Lindell on in relief for this top of the sixth inning. Due up for the anchors is Kroom, Logius, and Sanders will now be trying from behind as it is 9-3. They're down by six. And to take you the rest of the way through the sixth, here's Spencer.
Thank you, Jacob. As mentioned, yeah, Jacob Lindell here on the mound. Due up will be Kevin Kroom, Marcos Lagios, and Carson Sanders here looking to shorten this lead now. The Colt 45 scored six in the bottom of five. Now to the top of the six, the anchors have plenty of work to do, and Kevin Kroom will be the first one to step up to the plate and take on that task. 9-3 here, top of six. Lindell's first pitch, called strike on the fastball right down the middle. Lindell out of Shasta College, 6'3", 200 pounds, left-handed pitcher, dealing with Kevin Kroom, who will watch this one go just wide, leaving up the count 1-1. And the runs last couple innings have come from by the bunch. Three runs for the anchors in the top of four, and then six runs just a few minutes ago in the bottom of five from your Colt 45s. The ball floated in there. Just missed. Be 2-1 count now. As the lights, as Jacob has mentioned, have taken full effect here. The sun has set. The colors in the sky have gone away, and now it is just a night of baseball here, and a big swing and a miss from Kroom, and they'll even the count at 2-2. Kroom so far has come around to score off of a single in the top of the fourth. And then back in the top of the second, he is grounded out to second base. Now the 2-2 count. Lindell looking for a strikeout. It'll fill the count. Just misses outside, so a full count here. And a payoff pitch pending for Jacob Lindell in his first batter faced. Southpaw kicks and deals. Swing and a miss, and that'll be a strikeout for Jacob Lindell. And that's a great way to start the top of the sixth. And with a new pitcher up as well, they will throw it around the horn here. As up to bat now will be Marcos Lagios. Lagios on the day has singled in the top of two and has reached via an error by the second baseman. And it came around to score part of that three-run stint there for the anchors in the top of four. So a full count strikeout there from Lindell to start off his night. And the Southpaw gets it done early. Missing just inside for ball one on Lagios. 9-3 still is the score here in the top of six. One out away. It's your Colt 45's lead. Lindell delivers. Called strike. It looked a little low, but he's going to be hit the zone just perfectly then. Even up the count, 1-1. As Lagio Sanders waiting on deck, we'll get his chance at Lindell. This one's going to miss high. It's going to be 2-1 now. Two balls, one strike. Lindell again, his first inning, second batter faced here. Here's the 2-1 delivery. Gonna miss just outside. It's going to be a 3-1 count. I'll have to work to make sure Lagios earns his way onto first base and it's not given to him just by patience. Lindell kicks and deals. And ducking out of the way is Lagios, and that will be a 5-pitch walk and on to first for just the first walk of the night, or second walk of the night, rather, for the Colt 45s. And a runner will be on first with Carson Sanders due up. So one out away, runner on first. Sanders due up. Sanders so far tonight has struck out looking in the top of two and in the top of four. Got a single where he was then stranded on third base after almost making his way around the score. Lindell now. And it looks like we're going to get a balk called. And the runner will advance to second. And now that is another free 90 feet for Lagios. In just two pitches, he's made his way from sitting at home plate to second base. Now Lindell peering back in after the balk, and he is going to throw inside for ball one. Still looking to find his feet here, get in the rhythm and hit the zone. Here's the 1-0 for Sanders. Lindell peeling at Lagios, pitches again just a little inside. It's going to be a 2-0 count now. He doesn't want to start getting extra traffic on the base when it's unnecessary here. Lindell just still trying to find his feet here. 2-0 count, runner in scoring position on second, one out down, 9-3. Your Colt 45's lead here at the top of six. Here's the pitch from Lindell, swung on right to the first baseman. It will be Powell. He will make the tag, 3 unassisted for out number 2, but a runner will advance. Lagios will make his way to third, but that is a rather productive out there as it was hit right up to Bowen. Bowen makes the tag on the plate, or on the bag, rather, right at first, and coming into third was Lagios, and he is now just 90 feet away from shortening this lead for the Colt 45s, but 2 outs down nonetheless, and it'll be the designated hitter at the bottom of the lineup here, Grant Poininger.
Yeah, and on that balk call as well, here's the first pitch, misses wide. On that balk call, just, again, up to the discretion of the umpires, and in that case, funny enough, you know, compared to what we saw previously where there wasn't a balk call when we thought there would have been, in this case there was one, which I believe Lindell last weekend was called for a balk a couple of times. This one escapes the clutches of Chavez momentarily, but he gets to it quickly back on the outside the circle around home plate to make the count 2 balls and no strikes on Poininger. And
I think they do.
With that, again, a balk being the pitcher starts his motion toward home and then either changes the direction or stops it and goes a different way in any sort of regard. So it's a 2-0. It's a line shot up the middle. Mark Anthony Carroll moving to his left back line, second base. Strong throw to first in time. And it's a 6-3 putout. Sorry to steal your inning, Spencer.
No
worries. The side is retired as the Alameda anchors threaten, but they fail to score. They leave one aboard 90 feet away. It's 9-3 after 5. And a half here on KCNR, Shasta Redding. Redding, stay cool this summer with Redding Heating and Air. Fast AC repairs and installations by local experts. With over 20 years of experience, visit RedingHeatingandAir.com or call 530-223-1332.
Why do I hear honking? What's the celebration?
Because homeowners can save thousands right now.
And that's worth honking about.
All right, you've got my attention. How?
This year, HVAC prices are jumping. Manufacturers say up to 30%. Equipment, materials, everything.
But right now, the line, young fella.
Holding the line how?
By doing something most companies won't. We're selling select new systems at cost. No profit.
Wait, at cost?
Yep, you get today's price before next year's increases hit, big incentives, and financing that can mean zero down.
It's real savings. No gimmicks, no funny math.
So homeowners save big.
And Redding Heating and Air keeps their crews working instead of cutting hours.
Feels right to me.
It's called at-cost pricing. The biggest savings event of the year, only from Redding Heating and Air. Learn more at reddingheatingair.com. Old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Tiger Field here in Redding, California. Darian Johnson still out there for this bottom of the sixth inning. As the Colt 45 is looking to tack on more offense here in the sixth. As they sent 11 to the plate in the previous inning in the fifth. And they now lead by a score of 9-3. And to take you the rest of the way through this sixth inning, here's Spencer.
Thank you, Mr. Jacob. Two up now for the Colt 45s. We got the catcher Arthur Chavez, followed by shortstop Mark Anthony Carroll, and second baseman Deegan Palos, all who have gotten plenty of burn so far today. First up, Arthur Chavez has been hit by a pitch. He has singled, and he has walked to come around and score off that walk in the past inning. Here in the bottom of six, the left-handed batter watches the first one go high and wide for ball one. 9-3 is your score here in the bottom of six. Your Colt 45's lead after a six-run fifth inning. As a check swing there from Chavez did not go. It'll be ball two. 2-0 count now in favor of Chavez. As Darion Johnson, obviously, not the best first inning of work, but still trying to find himself here. As called strike, good framing there by the catcher. As the wind picks up again, that'll be Camp Imberg. Yeah, the wind has been off and on all day today, but towards the same direction, left to right field for the most part. Left-handed batter. This is high, again, is Johnson. It'll be a 3-1 count now. An opportunity for Chavez to work the walk and get some more traffic on the bases for the Colt 45s here at the bottom of six. Darian Johnson kicks and deals. That pause with the leg swung on hard, but it's going to be fouled down the first base line. It'll fill the count here. Good swing by Chavez just a little bit early on it. If he can level that out, it would definitely be great contact, and you'd have a great chance of getting on base. But full count now, payoff pitch pending. I think it'll be the first one for Johnson as well. Full count. Johnson delivers. It's going to be high, and it's going to be a walk. And Chavez now is getting a free 90 feet and on base, giving Anthony Carroll an opportunity to get him in a scoring position, possibly himself as well, as he has had a sacrifice fly in the second, a fly out to right field in the third, and then in the fifth, a single, and he did come around to score as well, as a courtesy runner will come in for Chavez. So runner on first. Mark Anthony Carroll, due up. First fourth at bat of the game here. Bottom of six. Runner on first. Zero outs. Darion Johnson. As this one's going to get swung on. Second baseman corrals. And the throw is in time. But it will be a 4-3 put out for out number one. But the runner will advance. We've got a runner in scoring position now. One out down. Runner on second. As Anthony Carroll swings on that first pitch into more or less of a fielder's choice. A little bit of a slow dribbler. More towards the first baseman, rather than the shortstop, so I think second baseman just decided to corral, make the play at first, make the easy play, instead of looking for the opportunity to take out the further runner along. As Palos will watch ball one, two up is Palos, he's got two strikeouts and a ground out, or a fly out actually, to second base, which you don't see every day. as he is going to watch another one a little low. It'll be a 2-0 count now. Still looking to get his first opportunity on the base running. Just got to get it on any way possible, and so far with the 2-0 count, it's looking likely for him. Same patient runner on second again. Little lead for him. And this one's going to miss low as well. It's going to be a 3-0 count now. Got to assume just kind of hang the bat on the shoulder here. Don't think Palace will be too eager to swing on anything unless it's something he really thinks he can get a hold of here. As he'll watch that one go high, and it'll be a 4-pitch walk. If I'm not mistaken, still sitting there. Okay, it is ball four. Just want to make sure he had me questioning myself for a minute there as he hung out in the batter's box for an extra minute. But now runners on first and second, one out away, and the top of the lineup will be Tyler Zanheiser, who has struck out, singled, grounded out, and has reached and come all the way around to score off of an air. But he's got two RBIs on the night on that last at-bat, and he's looking to get more here with a runner in scoring position. Darian Johnson, carrying in on Zanheiser, misses low for ball one. And Zanheiser has reached twice on the day with a single. One of three with a single, and also reached on air to come around and score. That's another one low. And the back pick is going to... No, he dodged the tag. How about that? They're going to call him safe. Absolutely incredible from Deegan Palos. It looked like he was dead in the water, dead in his tracks right there. Great back pick effort. Looks like we got a... Coach Bob Anderson's going to have something to say here.
Yeah, I'm wondering if Bob Anderson, as he takes a slow stroll back to the dugout, might have been, and now the field umpires are going to come in to have a little confabulation with the home plate umpire, might have been some sort of fielder interference or just some sort of interference call. But yeah, called safe regardless. So talk about an oddity. Yet again, it's kind of been the story of this ballgame.
Yeah.
There's been three or four things where it's just kind of been confusion all around.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just kind of the night we've had again. One of the, just the second series here for the Colt 45's fourth game of the season and the very first for the Alameda Anchors. So everyone's still trying to figure it out. A lot of new faces, a lot of new players. And just the first game of a three-game series, obviously. So we're excited to see how this will go. Colt 45's looking good so far through five and a half, plus a little bit, plus one out. Five and four, six.
Plus a little bit more, yeah,
there you go. And Zanheiser, stay in patience. It's going to be a 3-0 count now. I don't think he would mind getting on via the walk here, as both runners on first and second have gotten on via the walk.
Yeah, the free pass has been a problem for Johnson.
And again, just missing high. That's going to be back-to-back four-pitch walks. And Zanheiser... will take part, his patients will take part in loading the bases here. Once again, the bases will be loaded for D'Amico Parker, who has reached via the air to come around and score. He has been a part of a fielder's choice. Again, an air and a walk, so really just wanted to swing the bat here. And it looks like we might have a change on the mound.
Yeah, Jerry Gibbs talking things over with the whole infield, and it's either going to be a who wants to go out to the bullpen and start to warm up. Oh, now they have someone out there in the bullpen starting to get loose. It's going to be the 14 of Nick Johnson. And this meeting on the mound is just to buy Nick Johnson some time out there.
Right.
Get him loose as everyone makes their way back to their spaces and places. But
yeah, I'm assuming... head coach of the Anchors there. It's more finish the inning. Do what you can. No runners come across. This is your last chance right here.
Yeah, Jerry Gibbs took a quick walk out there and
right.
Tried to just slow things down, you know, get Johnson on settled back in. This one's popped up on the infield and it's drifting over right back onto the field. The catcher taking a spill in the process on the backspin.
That is insane. That ball almost ended up fair. It looked like it was coming right to us, and it just kept on going.
Had the craziest spin ever, and that shows you how hard it is to catch a baseball sometimes. That it looked like it was going to end up right back toward us.
Exactly.
Looking up between the lights and everything, and then
all of a sudden ended almost, like you said, Spencer, in the field of play in fair territory.
That would have been very awkward. With bases loaded, on everyone would have had to start running. It would basically be a force out on home plate.
Staying alive by the skin of his teeth as D'Amico Parker chopped toward third.
And
nowhere to go. Tags the runner out at second after there was 2.45s on the bases. Oh, my goodness. And I was going to try and hand it back over to you for the play-by-play,
no,
Spencer,
worries.
But I think both of us were
just a little confused.
As...
I saw two people standing on second base, and I was like, that's not normal.
Regardless,
the runner comes around to score, and it's going to be a single for Parker on the fielder's choice, rather. Shortstop just kind of held on to it, and he knew he had to make a play to third or second.
Yeah, applied the tag to the,
yeah.
the runner on second, leaving the bag. And then, yeah, a whirl, well, on the moving to his left, spin move, went to throw to first, realized he wasn't going to have a throw there, then saw 245 standing on second base, tagged out the runner, and then was over there at second base. So there was also three Alameda anchors over
right.
there. At second base has been busy tonight. There was five players standing around the bag right there.
Yeah, Zanheiser was starting to make his way back to first. Realized he couldn't, as this one's going to get roped into deep left field, but it is going to die in a diving grab. No, it didn't. He did not grab it. It's going to fall, and that is going to be a double there for Preston Conklin. It looked like he made a great diving catch, but it looked like that ball just died out of nowhere for a second. It looked like it was back at the wall.
It looked like it was going to be punched out over the wall.
Absolutely.
And then all of a sudden died once it got pushed out to left, the wind just killing it, into a dive as the ball was cutting away from him. Tried to get around the baseball, ended up picking it up on the short hop, and ending up at second base is the batter Preston Conklin. Holding at third is Clark. Coming to score was Paulus, I believe. Or Paulus was tagged out. What happened?
Zanheiser made his way across there at the top of the lineup.
There
as I was mentioning before, those very interesting series of events again, he was making his way back to first on that interesting play, and then he realized D'Amico Parker was just there, so he had to slide headfirst back into second to avoid the double play on the same base. That would have been very interesting, one that you don't see much. A big cut there coming from Patrick Bowen Jr. That's going to be a 1-1 count.
Yeah, now it's one ball and one strike on the lefty with runners in scoring position. The reliever out there in the anchor bullpen is getting up in a hurry.
Called strike there. It'll bring the count to 1-2. And again, a little bit unlucky. I think we saw the same thing. We both stood up and a little bit of excitement there from the left fielder. Whoever is out there in left field, we still aren't entirely sure who that is out there.
And Clark, dashing for home, slides in. But strike three called, and D'Amico Clark almost stole home. But the pitch was taken in the zone for a strike. Wow.
That would have been some incredible fireworks there to even boost the score even more. And D'Amico Clark has been looking like steal of bases all night, and it's unfortunate that that was right down the pipe. But it's going to be out number three there, and that will retire the side at the end of six.
He had
two stranded, but two runs there for the Colt 45s.
He had the biggest jump I have ever seen. He was about halfway to home before the pitcher really went into his delivery and snuck in there, I mean, easily, but the pitch was just taken in there for called strike three. That was phenomenal base running and phenomenal stuff. Tonight's game, sponsored by Reading Heating and Air. They deliver 24/7 emergency service. Give them a call today at 530-223-1332.
Why do I hear honking? What's the celebration?
Because homeowners can save thousands right now.
And that's worth honking about.
All right, you've got my attention. How?
This year, HVAC prices are jumping. Manufacturers say up to 30%. Equipment, materials, everything.
But right now, we're holding the line, young fella.
Holding the line how?
By doing something most companies won't. We're selling select new systems at cost. No profit.
Wait, at cost?
Yep, you get today's price before next year's increases hit, big incentives, and financing that can mean zero down.
It's real savings. No gimmicks, no funny math.
So homeowners save big.
And Redding Heating and Air keeps their crews working instead of cutting hours.
Feels right to me.
It's called at-cost pricing. The biggest savings event of the year, only from Redding Heating and Air. Learn more at RedingHeatingAir.com. Old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions. Thank you.
Cardinal fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field here in Redding, California. We enter the top of the seventh inning where your Colt 45s lead 11 to 3, and due up is, let me get the right sheet out here, at the top of the lineup, it'll be Robbie Finland, and then Alec, followed by Alec Nava and Junior Milan. To take you the rest of the way to the top of seven is going to be Jacob Green.
Thank you, Spencer. Yeah, that'll happen from time to time in the paper shuffle. Fellow broadcasters know for a fact.
For sure.
Here's a 2-0. Misses up and away for ball three. Three balls and no strikes to the leadoff man, Robbie Finland, who singled, struck out looking, and flown out to right tonight. And let me tell you, the fifth and sixth inning on my scorecard is a complete disaster. Here's a 3-0. Misses wide for ball four. It's a four-pitch walk issued as the game's dwindled down here a little bit in these middle innings. That's just some command issues for both respective pitchers.
And the game has slowed down quite a bit, too, just over the past, as I mentioned, half hour or so. There was big, that bottom of the fifth, six runs, of course, and even the top of the fourth. But just every inning in between there, where there's zero runs on the scoreboard, there is almost zero action as well based on runners advancing and such. Big cut there coming from Alec Nava, and that'll be strike one.
That's a right-hand hitter up to the plate. 45 is looking for two. Let's have the third baseman camped in on the grass. That is the third baseman, Conklin. This one misses wide. Even the count of it, one ball and one strike.
We'll say most of the offense so far has been in the infield or hits just over into the shallow outfield that has brought runs across for both sides so far.
This one's popped up on the infield, calling for it, then called off by Bowen Jr., who drops it. No infield fly called. Now the ball just held on to by the first baseman, Bowen Jr., and getting into second base is Finland. Runners on first and second now after the E3, and it has been a absolute oddity of an evening.
Yeah, definitely unfortunate. I know that's not the first time you used that word tonight. That is about the most perfect way to describe this first game of the season for me on calling, at least, and for the anchors as well. The offense did a great, or the defense, Lindell and the surrounding players.
As this one threw the glove of the catcher all the way to the backstop, both runners will move up 90 feet. It was in and out of the glove. I thought it went through the glove of the catcher for a second, but it just
slow bobble
caught the corner of it in the pocket.
Now, this is exactly what the anchors need if they want a chance to stay in this game as well. They're down eight right now, but with two runners in scoring position, zero outs down, you got a chance to make something happen here at the top of seven. Yeah, everyone did a great job getting out of the way for first baseman, obviously, to make that catch for Bowen, but just lost it.
There's a line shot toward left. Zanizer, playable for him. They'll squeeze it. Come on, the throw in to home is not going to be in time. It's on a couple of hops toward home, corralled by the catcher to hold the runner at second base. Tagging is Finland. He scores on the sack fly. Nava holds it second, and that is out number one for Ben Johnston to the plate. He's reached on the error. Or I take that back. Not reached on the error, but hit into that 4-3-2 double play. The first oddity we had today, then popped out to right and has struck out swinging.
Yeah, and I think, obviously, can't get it from deep left field all the way home. Perfectly placed ball there from Zanizer because they kept Nava on second with just a path that ball was taking. If he started running, someone could have picked that off and made the tag on it.
Yeah, 100%. That first pitch was fouled off for strike one. Now the 0-1 delivery with the runner on second base dancing off the bag. That's Nava, foul tipped again off the mask of the catcher this time. And the home plate umpire is going to go toss this baseball to the pitcher. Maybe hand deliver it. Yeah, hand deliver the baseball and really examine it before he hands it over to the pitcher, Lindell, to give the catcher a shot. Has a little bit of time to shake that one off after
still holds him
right off the grill.
There you go.
Yeah, part of that in-between part of baseball that not most casual fans will never know is that when the umpire does that or brushes off home plate after a big play, it's just to let fans soak in the game or give the catcher some time. That's the same reason the catcher will sometimes trot out to the mound after the home plate umpire takes one off some body part or the mask or whatever. This one misses for ball one. 1-2, great job by Chavez gliding to his left, keeping it in front of him. When the home plate umpire will go for a little stroll back behind the plate sometimes, see the catcher come out of his crouch and immediately head out to the mound for a quick meeting. The 1-2 fouled up and away toward the parking lot.
A little frustration there from Johnson as well. Staying alive in the count, but definitely thought he can get a hold of that one more and keep it fair.
Ben Johnston, the cleanup batter tonight for the Anchors. Lindell shakes off his catcher. Chavez now ready. Here's the 1-2 delivery. Is grounded fair down the third baseline. Corralled on the backhand by Colgan. Throw to first. Tag applied at the other end. What a fantastic play by Patrick Bowen Jr. Feet in foul territory. Corralled it and applied the tag to Johnston, making his way on the hard 90. Oh, my goodness. What a play at both corners.
And I think that is the best play of the night, absolutely, from that. That 5-3 put out is about as hard-earned as it could be, and holding Nava on second as well is a huge part of that, too. It's now two outs down with just one run coming across and a runner in scoring position, but on second, Kim Imberg up. Not too much to work with here, and obviously those insurance runs coming in last inning helps the Colt 45s out a lot. They're still up 7.
I mean, yeah, my goodness. It was, I mean, just barely snuck it in fair territory, first of all.
Right.
Backhand by Conklin, popped up, set his feet, made a strong throw across that was offline, and an adjustment on the other end by the lefty over there at first, Patrick Bowen Jr. Feet in foul territory and applies the tag. Here's the 1-0, misses inside, almost.
Say hit by Vick, it looks like.
Does take out the legs. I was going to say almost took out the legs of the catcher, but then of Imberg, rather, batting the catcher. But he will take first on the hit by pitch. He's aboard for the first time tonight after striking out twice and flying out to right. And
yeah, and just to reiterate that play from third baseman Conklin, I haven't played third base, but I know that is a far throw when you have to set your feet and you can't really step into it at all. Absolutely incredible.
As this one's going to plunk the leg of the right-hand hitting Kroom, and back-to-back hit by pitches will load the bases.
And that's happened to both sides so far now as well. Back in the first inning, I believe it was. It may have been the second. Yeah, it was back in the second inning.
Now, Eric Winchester out to the mound to chat things up with Lindell. With two outs here in the bottom of the, or top of the seventh inning, rather, one run across, it's 11-4. And, yeah, that throw from third to first is a far throw, especially when you're back about 4 or 5 feet behind the bag toward the left field way. And setting your feet, getting your legs under the throw is paramount when you're playing third and short. It's not just all arm over there, but see some of the best third basemen able to make that strong throw with no legs under him. But in this case, having to get legs under. Now, with two outs, Jerry Gibbs throws up the two-out signal. Let his runners know, run on anything. Doesn't matter. There's two gone. Anything that is contact, anything that's even slight contact.
Right, nothing to lose. Nothing to lose with the two outs, bases loaded.
Can't get doubled off with two outs as there's going to be a courtesy runner out there for the catcher, Cam Imberg. It's the 14 of Nick Johnson.
Might as well run the bases before getting on the mound, huh?
Yeah, well, that's, I was just thinking
that's the logic
that.
There.
Get loose.
Get into his element, get into the game officially before taking the mound. It's not a bad idea. This pitch will miss low. That's good cover there by Lindell, making sure no runner can advance home. Didn't want Nava to come around and score there for free. A ball, but based off the two pitches before that, that hit the batters he was facing, not the end of the world.
Yeah, by any means.
Looking to hit the zone for sure here. Two outs down, bases loaded, as you mentioned, Jacob. 7-run lead, something to work with, but one swing of the bat can cut that in half, plus a little.
And we saw it. Again, last year with the Alameda Anchors, there was 1 point. This one's lined up the middle and through. Almost took off the head of Lindell. Trotting into score now, rounding third, holding at third and throwing on the brakes is Nick Johnson as the throw came in strong from D'Amico Parker, who's probably the most well-rounded player on the team. All five tools are prevalent.
Yeah, I agree. Just from this first game so far, he's had himself quite a game. Just an incredible athlete so far playing there in center field. He's got the speed. He's got the swing of the bat, and he gets the ball in quick. Absolutely, he does. So far on the defensive side of things, you can really see it.
And Nick Johnson, as this one's grounded toward the shortstop mark, Anthony Carroll dodged by the runner, goes the short way to second to get the force. Smart play by Mark Anthony Carroll, as it is time to stretch here at Tiger Field. The anchors scratch a couple across. It's 11-5 through 6.5. And tonight's rendition of God Bless America will be sung by none other than Scott Lewis here on KCNR Shasta Redding. 11-5, the 45s lead here, mid-7. Of course, tonight's game sponsored by Redding Heating and Air. Visit reddingheatingandair.com or call 530-223-1332.
Why do I hear honking? What's the celebration?
Because homeowners can save thousands right now.
And that's worth honking about.
All right, you've got my attention. How?
This year, HVAC prices are jumping. Manufacturers say up to 30%. Equipment, materials, everything.
But right now, we're holding the line, young fella.
Holding the line how?
By doing something most companies won't. We're selling select new systems at cost. No profit.
Wait, at cost?
Yep, you get today's price before next year's increases hit, big incentives, and financing that can mean zero down.
It's real savings. No gimmicks, no funny math.
So homeowners save big.
And Redding Heating and Air keeps their crews working instead of cutting hours.
Feels right to me.
It's called at-cost pricing. The biggest savings event of the year, only from Redding Heating and Air. Learn more at reddingheatingair.com. Old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions.
When a heat hits hard, Redding Heating and Air is here to keep you comfortable throughout the summer. From fast, reliable repairs to full system installs, our certified technicians do it right the first time. Need clean air? We've got indoor air quality solutions too. Family owned, locally trusted. Call Redding Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642. That's 530-221-2642. Or visit reddingheatingandair.com. Redding Heating and Air. Comfort you can count on.
Welcome back to
Tiger Field here in Redding, California. It is the bottom of the seventh inning. Jacob Green and Spencer Sling here with you. It's great to have you with us on a wonderful night here at Tiger Field as Ben Johnson took a little bit too long to deliver toward home, and I believe. Well, I'm not sure exactly what happened, but it's an 0-1 count according to the scoreboard.
Okay, I'll believe it.
So, no balls and one strike to the left-hand hitting. Arthur Chavez, catcher for the 45s. This one's popped up towards shallow left. Playable for the shortstop who almost loses it in the darkness that has fallen completely now. Wow. And Chiarito, rather, with the flyout.
Yeah, again, that wind is playing a minor factor when it's sitting in the air that long. It's just kind of floating around that ball with the torque on it as well.
As Braden Chiarito pops out, which is a great play by the shortstop as well, was chasing back with a trio of anchors that ended up on the other side of his shoulders the way they were faced. Strike one delivered to Adrian Lopez, Puerto Rico native. There you go. There's my Spanish for the day.
I'm impressed.
It's been a while, but
that shortstop as well. Been a while. That shortstop, Finland, he actually saw that all the way into his glove, pretty much sitting on the blades of the grass. He watched that all the way down underneath his body.
A little shoelace catch.
Yeah.
He
just kept letting it fall to make sure he got his glove in the right spot.
Yeah, that was
impressive.
I mean, if that's the way it works for you, you know.
Yeah.
Here's the 0-2.
misses way upstairs, almost takes out the head of Lopez. Yeah, high school Spanish was a little bit ago at this point.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit older than you.
I always like to say I learned more from my teammates, more Spanish from my soccer teammates than my teachers in high school, my Spanish teachers, for sure.
It's the 1-2. It's a ground ball up the middle, off of Johnson. Corrals it halfway toward first, underhand flip in time for the painful and unconventional 1-3 putout. And, yeah, it was at junior college that I took it while I was in high school.
There you go. Oh.
Didn't learn. I mean, I learned a lot, but I forgot most of it.
Yeah.
What I remember is Spanish from growing up playing a lot of soccer and football and everything else in the street with all the neighborhood kids. But then also, yeah, my roommate. And then, again, some soccer players at Simpson. You know, you just pick up a little conversational Spanish.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like the less you try, the more you understand. The less you try, the more you comprehend. You know what I'm saying?
The less you try, the more you understand. Spencer Schlinge, 2026.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
The more you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's out there now for everyone to hear. This one right there at the belt for called strike one. And wow, that's, yeah, I mean, you're not wrong, you know? Is the 0-1 off the plate. One ball and one strike here in the bottom of the seventh inning. Our producer back in the studio, Alex Parker, just typed in the chat, the more you know is half the battle. That is very true. I will say the 1-1 breaking ball, basically an ethos almost. Oh my
just
goodness.
Just got a podcast.
Yeah, the amount of podcasts I've been on at this point, which like when COVID happened, everyone and their mom and their dad, their aunt, their uncle.
That was the best thing. Dude. That's the best thing that ever happened to podcasts was the coronavirus. Huh?
But 2-1 foul tipped, held on by the catcher Imberg to push to count two balls and two strikes. So many podcasts. And then from there we got into TikTok and
right.
Two balls and two strikes.
Now you see podcasts on TikTok.
Exactly. Now you see the clips and there's a line shot toward left center, sinking. It will fall for a base hit. It's going to go not quite all the way to Waldo. Warning track, rounding first, headed for two is the catcher, Chavez, and he slides head first into second base with the double. Great piece of hitting there by Chavez, driving it all the way to the left center gap.
Absolutely. One of the better hits of the night for sure, and getting dirty again at that head first slide. I think if the cutoff man at short side to leave that one, it would have been a closer play. But it definitely would have taken a hop. I think he would have been safe for sure regardless. But he is going to get a courtesy runner here just to get his equipment on with two outs down. Top of the eighth is just around the corner, possibly.
Yeah, Timmy Ayers again, the courtesy runner for the catch. And we just got word from Alex Parker, our producer. He has a podcast. And I could definitely plug that, Alex, if you shoot me the name in the chat or say it in our ear. We get Alex Parker in our ears, which no one really knows about. But sending us to breaks and stuff and whatnot is always – always cool to have that. Here's the 0-1 delivery. This is low. When you have someone doing all the behind the scenes, the back of house work for you, always nice, as you know, doing broadcasting with me this last year where we do a lot of, you do the setup, you do the teardown, you do the game prep, you do the graphics, the send to ad, cut to break, whatever you want to call it, all of that, running everything. Here's the 1-1. There's a chopper toward the third baseman. Gloves, handles the short hop, throws across to first in time, and Mark Anthony Carroll is sat down on the 5-3, and the side is retired. Chavez gets a double, but he perishes over there at second base. Through seven complete, it is 11-5, the 45s lead here at Tiger Field in Redding, California.
Redding area, stay cool this summer with Redding Heating and Air. Fast AC repairs and installations by local experts with over 20 years of experience. Visit Redding Heating and Air or call 530-223-1332. That's 530-223-1332.
Why do I hear honking? What's the celebration?
Because homeowners can save thousands right now.
And that's worth honking about.
All right, you've got my attention. How?
This year, HVAC prices are jumping. Manufacturers say up to 30%. Equipment, materials, everything.
But right now, we're holding the line, young fella.
Holding the line how?
By doing something most companies won't. We're selling select new systems at cost. No profit.
Wait, at cost?
Yep, you get today's price before next year's increases hit, big incentives, and financing that can mean zero down.
It's real savings. No gimmicks, no funny math.
So homeowners save big.
And Redding Heating and Air keeps their crews working instead of cutting hours.
Feels right to me.
It's called at-cost pricing. The biggest savings event of the year, only from Redding Heating and Air. Learn more at reddingheatingair.com. Old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Tagger Field. Top of the eighth inning, Evan Fraser on in relief. The Trinidad, California native with some family here in the crowd at Tagger Field. Sophomore, 6'2", 190 out of College of the Redwoods. To take you the rest of the way through the eighth inning, here's Spencer. Oh, my goodness. My apologies.
New nickname, Splinter. We got another one. Let's go.
Splinter. Adding some Infinity Stones to the gauntlet.
Splinter, Spanky, Schlangy. There we go. We got them all.
Schlangatang.
Okay. All right, this is going to get fouled back. Even up the count, one apiece. And this will be bottom of the lineup in Honinger, designated hitter.
Although, are orangutans tall or short? I don't know.
I don't know.
I feel like they're shorter.
They slouch a lot.
Yeah, you don't flash enough to be an orangutan. I can't call you that. Never mind. Also, our producer, Alex Barker's podcast, Hard to Watch on CreatorsC.TV on YouTube and Rumble. That's Hard to Watch, CreatorsC.TV. The letter C, by the way, not the, as in the ocean.
I'm going to have to tune in. It'll be pretty awesome.
Tune in and lock in.
Tune in and maybe I'll get a feature one day.
You never know.
Once I make it. Oh, is this one's getting fouled right into the dugout. Almost directly in, luckily.
We had one last
weekend.
The
overhang of the dugout saves these Alameda anchors. They do not need less players on this trip, I'll tell you that much. And that will even the count 2-2.
Oh, creatorsco.tv. Also, we were just invited. This one's popped up back
right
behind
over
us.
Our heads. And into the... What is that over there?
The abyss.
The abyss. Into the abyss. 2-2 count. It always gets a little more fun towards the last couple innings. We talk to ourselves half the time.
I mean, it is an 11-5 ball game.
No, for sure.
At this point, it is letting nature run its course.
For sure.
Unless anchors get somebody on the bullpen. But they are saving arms for the rest of the weekend, I would presume.
Full count here for Honinger and Fraser. This one swung. That's going to go foul again, and we'll do it all over again, the payoff pitch. From Fraser.
Set a couple of hard hit balls.
Absolutely. And this is a tough first first batter to face with the designated hitter if you're Fraser. But obviously just six outs away looking to close this game and call it a night. And he's got him. It's going to be a strikeout and a little pause there from Honinger. He thought he got a free pass to first, but he will be sat down looking there.
Yeah, that was a kind of surprising call. But again, it's on that inside pitch to right-hand batters that the strike zone's been a little bit wider. And, it's a punchy for Fraser. So
there you go.
I'd love to see it here in this eighth inning, 11-5.
This one I lost it, but I'll swung on.
High and foul. If it's fair, it's gone. And it is fair and gone. Now called foul. It stays in the park, actually. Oh, my goodness. That thing
can't
was
see with the dugout.
A mile-high shot. Somehow stayed in the park. And it wasn't caught by Zanizer. It looked like it was over the wall. We're blinded by the third base dugout here on this side.
Yeah,
and
I
could Spencer,
not tell if Zanizer was under that at all, or if he thought it was going foul or just missed it, or if it carried back in. Maybe he was in foul territory and it carried back in with that wind blowing left to right, as we've talked about, and maybe it fell there.
Yeah, it was pushed toward the foul pole and then landed somewhere between the lights out there and the foul pole, which is about a 15-foot gap. And that thing was an absolute moonshot, but it just hung up there. Thought it was going to stay in the park. Then thought it was going to be out. And you and I both lost sight of it.
Yeah.
Then I regained sight of it, and then blinded by the roof of the third base dugout.
Yeah, just for the guys back home, everyone listening, slight corrupted view here as this one's going to get hit straight up in the air. This one I see, and Mark Anthony Carroll sees it as well, and he will make the squeeze. for out number two.
That's great play-by-play commentary.
Thank you.
Oh,
I work hard.
Working hard or hardly working.
Keeping Finland on second base. So we got a runner in scoring position, two outs down. And Junior Milan is up, just four outs away from retiring this side in this game, or one out away from retiring the side, four outs away from putting the game to rest here.
Goodness gracious, people losing hats and the wind picking up. We're losing papers almost. They got pens and paper clips.
Oh, they're going to say ball. Excuse me, I thought it was a 1-0 count here for Milan.
Some gusty wind
now, sure.
Which is, again, a couple of pop-ups, and the ball's been moving all over. I was going to go back to, as this one misses for ball two. It was a line shot into the dugout last weekend on a left-hand batter, and that whole dugout cleared out of there pretty quickly because it bounced around there like a ping-pong ball, or like a bouncy ball.
Yeah. I saw a clip on TikTok the other day where someone hit four in a row in the big leagues or college, one of the two, like four in a row into the dugout.
That's an old
of his own team.
Old highlight from they clear out of the dugout after like the second time. Yeah, that's the Mets. I think it was the Mets, something like that.
Okay, I do think that first pitch was called strike here by the home plate umpire, and I think the scoreboard had it as a ball as well. So I do believe it is a 1-2 count, and that will be a strikeout. So that will retire the side. We are correct.
Great stuff.
That looked like what the call was. Got him swinging, by the way. Just to make that clear. Fraser with two strikeouts, one look at one swinging, and then that play by Mark Anthony Carroll retired the side. They strand one, the anchors, but no one coming across. It is 5-11 after the top of the seventh. We'll be heading in, or top of the eighth, rather. We'll be heading to the bottom of the eighth here. There's three outs of work. We'll put it away for the Colt 45s.
As we head to the eighth inning tonight's game, or the bottom of the eighth inning, tonight's game is sponsored by Redding Heating and Air. When you need help fast, Redding Heating and Air delivers 24/7 emergency service. Trusted local HVAC pros right here in Redding. Call 530-233-1332 today. Old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions in Redding, California, and the surrounding areas.
Why do I hear honking? What's the celebration?
Because homeowners can save thousands right now.
And that's worth honking about.
All right, you've got my attention. How?
This year, HVAC prices are jumping. Manufacturers say up to 30%. Equipment, materials, everything.
But right now, we're holding the line, young fella.
Holding the line how?
By doing something most companies won't. We're selling select new systems at cost. No profit.
Wait, at cost?
Yep, you get today's price before next year's increases hit, big incentives, and financing that can mean zero down.
It's real savings. No gimmicks, no funny math.
So homeowners save big.
And Redding Heating and Air keeps their crews working instead of cutting hours.
Feels right to me.
It's called at-cost pricing. The biggest savings event of the year, only from Redding Heating and Air. Learn more at reddingheatingair.com. Old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions.
Your Redding Colt 45s lead the Alameda Anchors in the first game of the series with a score of 11-5. Due up right now as he will watch a called strike for the first pitch coming from Nick Johnson, number 14 for the Alameda Anchors. So it'll be strike one, 0-1 count to start off. Deegan Palos, the second baseman, who has struck out twice, grounded out, and has walked so far as he'll foul this one back, looking to get on base via the bat for the first time here tonight in the bottom of the eighth. Which will be his last chance, barring a big change of momentum in this game coming from the Alameda Anchors. Tyler Sanheiser in the top of the lineup on deck, followed by D'Amico Parker. So a good place to be in this lineup if you're the Colt 45s, adding some insurance runs here in the bottom of the eighth. 0-2 count. Here's the pitch from Johnson. It's going to miss just outside. He's got a little bit of a sidearm approach to him here, Johnson. A little bit unique of a pitching style and approach. But we'll see if he can get the job done here. Three outs needed, and then a lot of offense on the other side of things. Here's the one. Kicks and deals. Swung on. And it's collected again by Johnson, and he will make the throw in time, so it'll be a 1-3 putout. Palos couldn't quite beat the ball there, and that will be one out down here to start off the bottom of the eighth inning.
Let's hear it one more time for our bat boy tonight, Easton. Thank you for helping us.
As Easton, the bat boy for the Reading Colt 45s, gets one more nod for the night. And Zanheiser, who's come around to score twice, once off an error and once off a walk, and he's also singled, struck out, and grounded out. So a lot of at-bats faced here for Zanheiser. This will actually be his sixth at-bat of the night. So he'll be the first one to get his sixth chance and possibly the second to last should the inning continue past D'Amico Parker. One out down here, 11-5 in the bottom of the eighth. Your Colt 45s lead, the Alameda Anchors. There's a pitch from Johnson, swung on. It's going to go foul just over into the parking lot, deep right side of the parking lot. And that will be strike number one via the foul ball. Oh, one count here. Johnson peering in again. Slight sidearm approach, as mentioned. Here's the pitch. Swung on again, just to about the same spot. Just a little bit late on it. And that will be strike number two. Both off foul balls to the lot. So 0-2 for Zanheiser here. Looking to get on base any way possible here, as he has gotten on base about any way imaginable so far tonight, as he ducks out of the way of this one. And they're going to say ball. Looked like for a second he may have gotten tagged on that one. But say no hit by pitch, so it's just going to be a ball there as he got out of the way in time. Zanheiser now the 1-2. Johnson peering in the delivery. Swung on by Zanheiser straight into the air. That's going into deep left center, but it looks like someone is going to get under it, and it will be grabbed by the mystery man, the mystery player that me and Jacob keep mentioning, number 31 of this Alameda Anchors team. So that will be out number two in the bottom of the eighth here. And the Anchors doing everything they can trying to stay in this fight, but unfortunately defense is not what they need as much as offense, as it is mandatory when they head to the top of the ninth. To six runs to keep this game going.
Yeah, history kind of repeats itself there with making his way over. The ball ends up really shallow left field after it was initially looking like deep left.
Right.
And then it just kind of drops out of the sky. Just doesn't carry.
And D'Amico Parker, again, one of the we were talking about on the radio so far from just tonight's experience, I'd say one of the most well-rounded players on the team here is this pitch is going to somehow not hit Parker, and it's going to kick off the catcher in Imberg. I don't know. It may have gone through his legs. I'm not even lying. It may have gone through his legs.
Either went
close
through his
one.
Legs or behind him. And
yeah.
Then, yeah, I was, I mean, again,
Burgos.
Odd.
Yeah.
You know?
So the 1-1 here, according to the scoreboard, because I may have missed a pitch there. But we'll get it corrected. Strike called. So I think it'll be a 1-2 count now. Yeah, 1-2 count, two outs down here in the bottom of the eighth. 11-5, your Reading Colt 45s lead the Alameda Anchors. And once this inning, this side is retired, they'll be three outs away from winning the first game of this three-game series. Swung on, and it's going to chop foul. That one was up near the hands there, or inside, rather. Maybe not all the way up near the hands, but a swing will just chop it foul. Didn't want to take any chances. He started a swing. It's probably too late to go for a check swing.
Yeah, I just tied him up inside and had no other option but to throw the barrel out. I hope for the best and
right.
End up pulling it.
Kept himself alive, though.
Yeah, just barely.
Johnson peering in. The 1-2, fouled off again. This will go into the parking lot. Not quite a clunk off the car. A silent foul ball. Doesn't happen too much. Usually always smacking something. Still a 1-2 here. Parker doing everything he can to stay alive. Fresh pitcher with Nick Johnson. Swung on again. It'll foul back, and we will go again.
Yeah, just foul ball after foul ball, just battling.
Right.
It's been a little bit early on it, then a little bit late on it, then a little bit early on it again.
Just do whenever you can to stay in the fight here, because there is two outs down. Possibly the last at-bat for the Colt 45s for the night. As he'll swing on this one, it's going to land fair just in front of the left field. And it'll be a stand-up single there for Parker. One of the better hits we've seen tonight, just hitting contact, but great contact at that. So it'll just take a couple hops out to left fielder. And it's going to be a stand-up single.
Yeah, just a sharp line drive base hit to the mystery man out there in left field, number 31. That's something we didn't foresee at all, was a blank name on our sheet.
I will say, again, big nod to number 31, though. I'm sure anyone who listening, supporting the Alameda Anchors, they know who it is. So, or at least we can hope. He's played a solid game out there. It's unfortunate we couldn't get the name out to them. But hopefully we can vow that tomorrow we will have his name.
I was going to say, we'll have it tomorrow for sure. I'll talk to the manager after the game. Is this one right down Broadway for a called strike one to even the count up?
Two outs, runner on first, 11-5. Colt 45's as Nick Johnson peering in, working on Preston Conklin. And it will be a hit by pitch. And this will continue the eighth inning and put Parker in scoring position. And Parker ain't afraid to run, especially with the score is where it's at now. Might look to steal that third base here, but against a right-handed pitcher compared to more recently.
Although I will say with a left-hand batter, not likely, but
right.
You never know
right.
With the type of ball game we've had for one, but then also just
D'Amico Parker.
This is the scenario you try it in.
Right.
You know, not really too much skin in the game. Is this one
close on there too?
Just barely.
Yeah, kind of ducking out of the way. There was Patrick Bowen Jr. We're not ducking as much as just kind of turning the back shoulder. Making sure he didn't take one off the elbows or anything as well. 1-0 count here. Nick Johnson with the delivery. Runners on first and second. Swung on. It's going to be by the first baseman, and he's going to make the toss. It'll be a 3-1 put out to end the eighth inning.
Yes,
I believe.
I think they're going to say,
oh,
it went off of him?
Maybe a foul ball. Maybe he hit it.
Or went foul off the plate, rather.
Right.
My apologies.
Well, my scoreboard's even more ruined now, but it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, mine's got colors on it and stuff. It's all sorts of.
There you go. So to make its way back, it'll just be a foul ball. So it'll be a 1-1 count here for Bowen.
As the trio of umpires, all three sporting blue, will chat things over between the pitcher's mound and first, chatting up what exactly took place there. And the Colt 45s tonight have walked, if my number's correct, at least 7 times. The Anchors have walked a total of once.
And they are going to say he's out at the end of it. Maybe they're just ready to go home. I'm not entirely sure what happened, but they do end up. It's going to be a 1-3 put out there, and Bob Anderson still got something to say. And
I was going
to
say, now Bob Anderson out to the – oh, and he's going to be yelling at the first-place umpire.
He's going to someone else.
With the hand by Cam Rule. They're now chatting back and forth. Bob Anderson animated. Eric Winchester and then John Downey, the first and third base coaches, are awaiting somewhat eagerly to pull Bob Anderson back. Now the home plate umpire, Cam Rule, with a lot more animated of hand motions as he talks. A lot more chest in his voice this time. Now Bob Anderson, again, emphatically motioning, and he is upset about this call. Now he's going to storm back to the dugout. Has a few more words for the home plate umpire. Does not agree with the call, and he will walk back as the Colt 45s take the field. Now Bob Anderson... Still, Bob Anderson yelling at the home plate umpire to, quote, do better than that. And Jerry Gibbs, as he makes his way out with a little smirk on his face. We've had some animated folks tonight here, let me tell you. And it's been on both sides. It's been back and forth, all in the spirit of competitive play. per usual.
And that's summer ball for you. I wouldn't want it any other way. I really wouldn't.
In the majors, sometimes they'll call that getting bush league.
There you go.
I like to say old school.
There you go.
As Evan Fraser will stay out there for this ninth inning as the 45s will look to close it out and head home happy getting the win and spoil the Alameda Anchors opening night as they begin their season in the Pacific Coast Collegiate Baseball League. And yeah, we'll keep it here, folks. Tonight's game is sponsored by Redding Heating and Air, and they've done a great job of keeping Redding cool. When you need help fast, Redding Heating and Air delivers 24/7 emergency service. Trusted local HVAC pros right here in Redding. Call 530-223-1332 today. Old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions here in Redding, California, and the surrounding areas. And it's been an enthralling ball game. Although, guessing from the score, you would not think so. It's 11-5 here as we begin the top of the ninth inning. And after that 1-3 putout, just, again, some extracurriculars. And can't wait to hear Bob Anderson's take on what took place either, as it will be 4, 5, and 6. And Ben Johnston, Nick Johnson, and then Kevin Kroom for the Alameda Anchors, and they will look to rally back here. They're down 6 in this top of the ninth inning. As the first pitch misses inside for ball 1.
And I will say, if you do come out here to Tiger Field, this is nothing out of the ordinary as far as the extracurriculars here at Tiger Field. Just the summer ball, it's always fun. But people still care, and they want to win. They want to compete in the Wood Bat League. It's a lot of fun, and I wouldn't want it any other way, and I'm sure you wouldn't either, Jacob.
I was going to say, I would not want it any other way.
Great
for
show
sure.
For the fans, too. As long as things don't get out of hand, but they never do.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to see the benches clear. We saw it last year at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Or kind of clear. That? There was no punches thrown.
There was some jawing.
Some barking, some jawing. Yeah.
Pitcher towards batter, and then they decided to handle it on the handshake line, maybe?
Yes, now I count 2 balls and 2 strikes. With nobody out here in the top of the ninth, 11-5. The antics are not just on the field, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Swing and a miss, and down on strikes goes Johnston for out number 1. And now it's the right-hand hitting Cam Imberg to the plate, who has K'd twice, flown out, and been hit by a pitch. He was stranded at third his last time up. Right-hand batter, open stance. Fraser delivers. Hit in the air toward left. Zandizer giving chase to the track at the wall and will chase it down on the warning track as Imberg gives it a ride, but it's not quite enough to hit it out here at Tiger with that cross breeze blowing. That is out number 2.
And now they really are down to their final out. Zandizer all the way back at the wall, the closest one to see out we have seen. And it's just shocking that one didn't go out either. A few of these balls have looked like they've been crushed.
Yeah,
and they have first one to the wall.
Really. Barely knocked down. It. I mean, he missed it by about 3 feet. The first pitch to Kroom, low and away for ball 1. 1 ball and no strikes. We saw that, I think, once last weekend. It was a ball hit quite literally off the top of the wall. Swing and a miss to even the count up at 1 ball and 1 strike. With 2 outs here in this top of the ninth inning, 11-5, the Colt 45s lead. They're 3-0 on the season. They're looking to improve to 4-0. This one misses for ball 2. Alameda Anchors will fall to 0-1 when this ball game goes final. Out of the windup, Fraser kicks and deals a 2-1 shot toward third. Conklin in foul territory was going to make the throw to first. He gathered it back behind the third base coach's box, was going to make a strong throw. But it is a foul ball. And now down to their final strike are the Alameda Anchors. And this game has delivered in more ways than one.
Yeah, I know, absolutely, I agree.
I mean, wow, I thought opening
it's
weekend
really
had a buzz.
It's never over at Tiger Field, is it? It's really never over.
It's a 2-2 breaking ball, misses wide. What a play by Chavez to keep it in front of him, although no need with nobody on the bases. An 11-5 ball game. Top of the ninth, down to their final strike. The payoff pitch from Fraser is a line shot. Fair down the left field line. Down into the corner below the 320 mark. Zanizer over to dig it out. Rounding first. Headed for two. The throw into Mark Anthony Carroll. And cut off by Carroll. And it's a stand-up double. Kroom keeps the anchors alive with the stand-up double. That will bring up Marcos Lagios.
Yeah, now you see it right down the third base line. It was 50-50 on if that was staying fair or going foul over that third base.
Not going away quietly.
Absolutely. Again, goes for more than one.
Yeah, he's going to stay out of second base. I thought he was going to get a courtesy runner, but no such thing. Now, wide open stance for the right-hand hitting Lagios with a socks-up-high line shot into left field for a base hit. Rounding third and headed for home. Zanizer kicks it around and left. Now the throw into second base to keep the runner at first. And he will stay there. And again, the Alameda Anchors staying alive by the skin of their teeth.
Yeah, a couple of base hits keeping them in it.
They keep that line moving. Now Carson Sanders to the plate. He struck out looking, singled, ground out to first, and reached on the fielder's choice during the third out back in the seventh inning. He's the second baseman now. He took over there back in the fifth inning, I believe, with all those defensive replacements. First one misses for ball one. So one for three on the night, rather, with a fielder's choice. Pitch from Fraser. Chopped toward Conklin at third. Gathers, throws across in time. And the ball game comes to an end on the great play by Conklin. The Colt 45s win it by a score of 11-6 as the Anchors get one in this final frame. They strand one aboard. We'll be back with the totals here on KCNR right after this.
Why do I hear honking? What's the celebration?
Because homeowners can save thousands right now.
And that's worth honking about.
All right, you've got my attention. How?
This year, HVAC prices are jumping. Manufacturers say up to 30%. Equipment, materials, everything.
But right now, we're holding the line, young fella.
Holding the line how?
By doing something most companies won't. We're selling select new systems at cost. No profit.
Wait, at cost?
Yep, you get today's price before next year's increases hit, big incentives, and financing that can mean zero down.
It's real savings. No gimmicks, no funny math.
So homeowners save big.
And Redding Heating and Air keeps their crews working instead of cutting hours.
Feels right to me.
It's called at-cost pricing. The biggest savings event of the year, only from Redding Heating and Air. Learn more at reddingheatingair.com. Old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It was an 11-6 showing from the Colt 45s. They took advantage of the four hit-by-pitches and then a very large amount of walks. It was about six of them. For the Alameda Anchors, six runs on 10 hits, five errors. They left eight. For the Colt 45s, 11 runs on nine hits, two errors. They left 13. This is Jacob Green here with Spencer Schlange. And Spencer, what's kind of your main takeaway here tonight?
Yeah, solid game. Great outing there from the Colt 45s again. Most of the runs coming in bunches. They scored one in each of the first three innings. Then that six-run fifth inning was really that was the difference maker right there. You take that away, they lose the game. Or they're up right now to bat to try to keep the game alive. But, yep. Just a great performance so far from the Colt 45s. It's 4-0 on the year. They're one win away from winning the series. And this is a great Alameda anchor side. Yeah, they might be missing a few players, but their coaching staff from top to bottom and their roster from top to bottom is really solid.
Yeah, those middle innings were key for the 45s. And Jerry Gibbs before the game said, those 13 guys, pretty key players. Obviously, they're part of the whole process there with the whole team. But he said when these guys get going and everyone's here and healthy, he goes, they'll be a very competitive, good baseball team in the Pacific Coast Collegiate Baseball League. And, I mean, we saw that tonight. They were competitive for most every inning there. There's just the handful of blemishes in the fifth and sixth inning. But apart from that, it was a very back-and-forth ball game, very even. The next two games this weekend, both starting at 7:15, should be fairly entertaining. The winning pitcher is Lucas Pettingill. The losing pitcher, Darion Johnson. Actually, a correction. The winning pitcher is not Pettingill. It will go to It should actually be Tyler Shepard. Or hold on, we'll get everything correct in a second. Jacob Lindell, my apologies. Lindell is the winning pitcher. My goodness, had to dig back in the depths of my baseball scorekeeping when it gets complicated like this. But the messy parts on the scorecard on the 45 side, always good when they send nine batters to the plate or more and multiple innings. And that was the story tonight. They put six runs on in the fifth, and that was really the pinnacle of the ball game. Some antics ensuing on both sides, but nevertheless, always entertaining here from Tagger Field. For Jacob Green and Spencer Schlange, Alex Parker back in the studio engineering things forth with KCNR Chest Reading, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, or online at kcnrradio.com. The final score here from Tagger Field, 11-6. 45s improved to 4-0 on the year. Alameda Falls to 0-1 as the 45s ruined their opening night. And again, for Spencer Schlange and Jake Green, have a good night, everybody. Thanks for tuning in and listening. We'll be back out here tomorrow night when Alameda Anchors take on the Cool 45s for the second game of this weekend series. Again, the final score here from Tagger Field in Redding, California, is Alameda Anchors 6 and your Redding Cool 45s with a W, 11.
Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
If you're struggling to hear conversations, TV, or the people you love, now there's an easier, more affordable solution without spending thousands. Audion Hearing makes high-quality, rechargeable hearing aids starting at just $98, free shipping, and dedicated one-on-one support in the comfort of your own home. No doctor's offices, no pressure, clearer hearing delivered right to your door. Join over 1 million happy customers hearing life more clearly. Visit AudienHearing.com. That's AudienHearing.com.
You've probably heard all those ads for life insurance. Just a few dollars a day, apply online in minutes, no medical exam. Simple, easy, and cheap, right? Now you're thinking, maybe I should get a quote. Well, smart thinking. Everyone should have life insurance. But here's what they don't tell you. Those few dollars a day rates, they're for young people in perfect health. That's why everyone calls Big Lou the 50 to 60 year old not so perfect candidate. Like you. You take prescription meds and you're overweight. Winner, winner, fried chicken dinner. Well, Big Lou works with life insurance companies that want people like you with no surprises after you apply. In fact, if you're a 50-year-old guy with a few health glitches, Lou could probably find you $1 million of term life coverage for about $200 a month. So, yeah, you need life insurance. But unless you're young and healthy, you gotta call Big Lou, because he's like you. Older, heavier, and on meds, too. Get a quote right now at 800-555-1509, 800-555-1509, or biglou.com.
Paid for by term provider.
Furnished by IntelliBrands.
Have you ever felt leg pain, restlessness, cramps, tingling, swelling, numbness, itchiness, or coldness? Then you need the new patented Legsercise Pro, a natural circulation booster that uses continuous automatic leg movement to soothe pain and promote healthy circulation, the natural drug-free way.
Using Legsercise made walking painless again.
Legsercise Pro's patented walking simulator propulsion technology moves your feet back and forth along its concave track, creating constant movement and flex at both the knee and ankle joints. It's like having a physical therapist right in your own home.
I have much less swelling and no more tingling.
Call right now and order your very own Legsercise Pro, the new proven automatic leg mover that soothes pain and naturally promotes healthy circulation. Call 800-555-1212. That's 800-555-1212. 800-555-1212 now.
These statements and products have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? A man age 50, non-tobacco user, can obtain $500,000 of coverage for as little as $110 per month, level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. Call Term Busters for a quote, 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate for preferred non-tobacco rate class, exam required to qualify. For details, call 1-800-908-7636. Paid for by Robert Livinger, insurance agent.
3-year-old Zena's smile is as bright as her future. But there's something you wouldn't know about Zena.
She was born with a cleft lip, which can make it hard to eat, talk, hear, and even breathe. Thankfully, Zena met Smile Train. Smile Train has helped millions of kids like Zena get the care they need and find their forever smiles. Because every child deserves to live their full smile story. Learn how you can help at smiletrain.org/learn.
It is the Chris Plant Show, 24 minutes after the hour. Mike Opelka in for my friend Chris Plant. And, we lit up the phones early with the Pelosi video. So let's have some fun. Let's talk to the people. Margaret in Germantown, Maryland. Hello, Margaret. Welcome. Margaret, are you with me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
You're coming in beautifully. What's on your mind?
With Nancy, the pillow fan, I think we all should start spelling her name P-I-L-L-O-W-S-I.
Ooh, pillows, Wosi. Pelosi with
Nancy
a pillow
Pelosi.
In the middle. Whatever you do, Margaret, don't refer to her as a pillow princess. I think that would be wrong. And don't look that up on a work computer either. Just be safe. But that's it.
Okay.
Very, very good suggestion. Thank you, Margaret. Let's go to Carlo in Arlington, Virginia. Hello, Carlo.
Hi, Mike. Great to hear you on the radio.
Thank you, brother. What's up?
Yeah, when Nancy Pelosi, as you referred to, she was in the back of a limousine and her daughter was recording her, and she actually said, "I'm responsible for the violence on January 6th. And I put that on that video on my Facebook page, and I'm surprised nobody has done anything about that. I mean, she admitted it right there.
Yeah, she has. That video has been out for quite some time, but Nancy Pelosi appears to be in some kind of very protected class. You know, they've named her Speaker Emerita. She's got some sort of governmental force field around her. So yeah, she admitted it. Kash Patel published the paperwork, the files, the receipts years ago on his website. So I'm truly surprised that the left only sees what they want to see. They're totally it's the most confirmation bias I've ever seen. But it's an excellent point. And keep posting. I'm glad Facebook didn't pull the clip.
Yeah, for sure. And she should be prosecuted for insider trading. I mean, President Trump has even said she's got a better track record than Warren Buffett. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, she does. But, you know, if you prosecute her, there's probably a handful of Republicans as well. So we just got to make that against the rules and against the law. Oh, insider trader already is against the law. Thank you, Carlo.
Right.
Have a great weekend. Excellent stuff. Let's wrap up the lightning round here with our friend Jason in Kensington. Hello, my friend. How are you?
Hey, g'day, Mike. Haven't spoke to you for a while. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm holding up my end, or at least trying to. You know, the Chris Plant Show, there's a lot of responsibility here on this show, but thank God Michael Piercy and Jasmine are here.
Yeah, no, just about the election integrity. I mean, I hate to keep comparing it to Australia, but in Australia, if you do not have the votes counted in by the end of the day, people will storm the building. They assume that there's fraud. And if you don't vote and you don't register the vote by the time you're 18, you get fined about $100.
I've always thought that was interesting, that if you don't register and you don't vote, it could cost you financially.
Yeah.
And we debated that, and I now see the light that I don't think we should fine people, but we should paint them blue so they're easy to identify.
I know, but there's no excuse for not having the votes counted in by the end of the day, none.
Well, Jason, the way they wrote the laws, you get a week from postmark. If your ballot is postmarked on election day, it has a week to get to the election counting center. So that's already 7 days. And if they find a mistake, California gives the what they call curing. They give the right for someone to take that ballot to the person who mailed it and say, "Hey, you forgot to sign this. You forgot to date it. Would you like to fix that?" So it could be October before this thing is over. I don't think it's
ridiculous.
Going to be. But it's just crazy. And wait till you hear what's going on in Alaska, because what the Democrats have done in Alaska is beyond embarrassing. And I'm doubting that it's illegal, It's just the... Maybe I should give him credit for coming up with a smart, dirty trick. I'll share it just around the corner. It's Mike Opelka in for my buddy Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
This is The Chris Plant Show.
As I've been predicting, thanks to the work of our president, it appears your interest rates are finally on the way down. How will that affect you? Well, I'm joined by Josh Barker with Josh Barker Real Estate.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
What do you think about the great news? What does that mean for the sellers that you're working with?
You know, Sean, I think that the biggest thing is this, is that as interest rates go down, it serves as gravity to value. So as rates go down, the value of homes goes up. And as those rates go up, the value of homes goes down. So as we watch rates going down in the future, we could expect that the asset value of real estate is going to start to go up. So the question is, do you sell now or do you sell later? Do you buy now or you buy later? I would say either way, as long as you're in the market, you're going to receive the benefit.
All right. Thanks for keeping us up to date. Talk to the only agent in town I recommend. Go online to readinghomes.com. That's Reading, R-E-D-D-I-N-G, homes.com, or just Google Josh Barker. That's Josh Barker, and then you can start packing.
Open your heart and home to an individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities and become a mentor with our California Mentor Family Home Agency Program. We are looking for mentors in Shasta County. As a mentor, you can help an individual in need thrive. Mentors receive a monthly stipend to help cover the cost of care. Call 530-221-9911 or visit ca-mentor.com. That's ca-mentor.com.
This is Colonel Danny Gilman, the host of Frontlines of Freedom, the nation's largest military news and talk radio show. We address the most pressing issues facing the security of our nation, our armed forces, our veterans, and their families. Please join us every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio show.
Turtle Bay's glowing wild and illuminated Wildlife Lantern Festival is back and better than ever for 2026 at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California.
Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with larger-than-life displays of plants and animals from around the world,
including dinosaurs and icons from ancient Egypt.
Jump on the new Turtle Express for a fun ride through the show.
Glowing Wild is May 1st through June 28th, 7 to 10 p.m. Buy tickets online for the best price at turtlebay.org.
Looking to grow your business locally? Get your message heard loud and clear on KCNR Radio, serving all of Shasta County. Whether you run a small business, a local service, or have an event that needs buzz, KCNR's trusted hosts and loyal audience can help your brand stand out. Affordable packages, custom ads, and a voice that delivers results. Advertise smart, advertise local, advertise with KCNR Radio. Visit KCNR1460.com or call 530-605-4565.
Hey neighbors, have you ever wondered where you can find a store that truly feels like home? Well, look no further. Grange Co-op has been community-focused since 1934, and guess what? We're not just a store, we're owned by customers just like you. Yep, that's right, it's all about community here. So why choose Grange Co-op? When you shop with us, you're not just supporting a store, you're supporting a community. Grange Co-op has what you need for your home, garden, pets, and farm. Grange Co-op, where the values of yesterday meet the needs of today.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North
update now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Could someone you know use a little extra comfort right now? Alliance Heating and Air is proud to team up with Lennox to bring Feel the Love to our community, a special program providing free heating and cooling systems to homeowners in need. A simple nomination can make a big difference. Nominate today at homecomfort.org or call 2212-642 Alliance Heating and Air, because everybody calls us 2212-642.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and I Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio. Find out what's happening in our town, our community, and our nation. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m. right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Reading area homeowners, stop being told your only option for your old roof is to buy a new one. Actually, never re-roof it again. Redding, California's Diamond Coat Roof Restoration offers homeowners real, actual restoration that saves tens of thousands of dollars compared to replacements. At Diamond Coat, we offer best of class, American-made, high-performance, clear acrylic barrier systems that actually seal the shingles, lock in the granules, and protect your roof from NorCal's extreme weather. The Diamond Coat system is unique and also nothing like the vegetable oil-based restoration being sold in our area. This is an actual invisible barrier designed specifically to protect your shingle roof, not just make it look newer. These are hard times, and restoring your roof, over replacing it at a third of the cost, is without a doubt one of the best investments you can make in 2026. Call 530-941-9035, 530-941-9035, or visit www.diamond-coat.com.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, I'm Carrie Crancy, CEO of the Community Foundation of the North State, and we are so grateful for the partnership of the Redding Rancheria over 20 years and counting.
Hi, I'm Jenna Berry with Raising Shasta. We love partnering with the Rancheria. They've been a huge supporter of us for years in so many ways. You know, they help us with our fundraisers, and especially when we come to planting pinwheels.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Join Aaron and Bill for We the People Radio, Sundays, noon until 2.
It's conservative talk radio with a liberal dose of humor. Get the whole story from experts around the world delivering facts rather than opinion.
Miss the show? Busy at noon? No problem. Listen to our free archives when you have time. No commercial interruptions or download restrictions. We the People Radio.
.us.
What shall we do about them?
By trying to, his attorney, trying to poll, you're the one that he's going to nominate for Attorney General, his personal attorney. You got the Pam Bondi tricks. You got the Tulsi Gabbard tricks. Hey, you got the Cash Patel. Oh, yeah, the alcoholic. Then you got the other alcoholic, Pete Hegseth. You know, you're giving pardons to the January 6th thugs. The cops are suing Trump for trying to give money to the January 6th thugs. Hey, so how's sex, Mikey?
Well, Jerome, let me, I let you go. I let you spew all your hate and silliness, but let me address one thing. We can agree on something. We can actually agree on something. When the president pardons people who were unjustly arrested after participating in something on January 6th, I agree that those people who broke into the Capitol didn't walk in after being invited by the Capitol Police. Those people who broke in, who damaged things, who attacked law enforcement, those people should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. The people who were subject to lawfare by the previous administration, the people who were hoodwinked by paid members of, let's just say, the FBI, who were on site when the president was speaking and then helped lead the crowds and encourage them to go inside. Those people who we know, I think numbers over 350, those people should be facing prosecution. But so we can agree on that. The rest of that is just your silliness. You're making claims, as scurrilous claims against people and smearing the reputations of Kash Patel and Pete Hegseth, claiming they are alcoholics without any proof of this. You're just going on the reporting of the haters at MSNBC and CNN and God knows what other illegitimate websites that you follow. But I just would say it's okay. Because I believe you have the right to have an opinion, no matter how wrong it is. Now, in terms of the thing the Democrats are referring to, this $1.8 billion slush fund, if we go back to about a week ago, when Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, who may be one of the all-stars of President Trump's cabinet, Scott Bessent was asked about this, and Bessent brought forward the details of the 400 people whose privacy and rights were violated by the previous administration and the IRS, whose information was subsequently leaked to the media in a malicious intent to smear them and expose them, even though there was nothing to expose. This is a matter of a civil suit. And instead of enriching himself, the president offered to give that money to the victims. And I think that was a great idea. Now, there are a lot of people who didn't like the way it came down, and obviously this whole thing is being looked at further. And I think in the end, if the president's allowed to go back and sue and retrieve the $10 billion he was asking for, wouldn't that be a bigger pain in the drain, as it were, to the left? Wouldn't it be more trouble for the left, because they would then say, we would have gotten off easier at $1.8 billion. But no, they didn't do that. So we'll see. But, you know, you're allowed to keep making all these claims about people and making all these horrible statements, questioning someone's character without any proof at all. But I point to some of the candidates that the left is putting forward. I point to the Graham Platners of the world. I point to the people that the left wants to have elected to office to say, okay, what next? What are we going to learn next about these people? And I know Chris played it the other day. We have to expose some of the madness of the left, as I said. Some of the craziness. Some of the darndest things that they say. Because they do say the darndest things. Now, earlier this week, the Harpies on The View were teeing off on this Democrat candidate in Maine, Graham Platner. Earlier this week, Sonny Hostin, one of the ironically named ones, I think the other ironically named one, Joy Behar's on a, we're told, planned hiatus. She's doing a show in France and in parts of Europe this summer. So she won't be back on the show. So Whoopi has to work Fridays, 5 days a week this summer. I'm sure that's not making her happy. But earlier this week, Sonny Hostin talked about the allegations against Platner and seemed to be quite angry about all of this and saying that, in fact, character does matter.
I think all the allegations are true. The sexting with other women while married is definitely true, because his wife is the person that gave the messages to his campaign to give them a heads up. He's also made racist remarks about against African Americans. So he's a cheater. He's an anti-Semite, because the fact that he had that tattoo for 20 years and didn't know what it was is a lie. So he's a liar, a racist, an anti-Semite.
Homophobe.
He's a homophobe. Yeah. So he's all the things, and character does matter.
So character matters now. Really interesting. Again, this is from earlier in the week, and I know Chris played it, but I'm going somewhere with this, so follow me. It continued with Sonny Hostin playing the whataboutism game. Cut to.
But we have someone that has almost unbridled power in the White House at this point. There are no checks and balances. And the only way that we can maybe bring a bit of our democracy back is by having a Congress that functions and that has the checks and balances. And I do think one of the only ways is to win that seat in Maine.
So, a couple of interesting things there. The only way to put checks and balances on what Sonny Hostin believes is unbridled power in the White House is to win that seat in Maine. What didn't she say? She didn't say to elect Plattner. And this is interesting because I believe there's a lot of folks pointing to the reality that the Democrats have the opportunity, even if Plattner wins the primary, to force him out, just as Joe Biden was forced out, and replace him with another candidate. Gee, where would you find another candidate? I don't know, on the ballot from the primary? Because the governor is currently, she suspended her campaign, but she's still on the ballot. So there are all kinds of whispers that maybe they'll just move Plattner out and move the governor in, and they hope that that would be a good idea to take that seat. Susan Collins differs in opinion on that, obviously. But the reality is that Sonny Hostin really is a hypocrite. Remember, a couple days ago she was screaming that character matters, that this guy, he's got the Nazi tattoo, he's a homophobe, he's a racist, he's a cheater, he's a liar. But Sonny Hostin thinks maybe she could find a way to vote for him.
Yesterday I was sort of on the fence. I'm like, character matters. Morals matter. I can't believe that this is the person in Maine that's gonna, you know, take on the Republican, take on Susan Collins. I'm now convinced that we are really in a bad place in this country. Democrats have to take over the Senate. They have to take over the House. They have to bring some semblance of normalcy back to this government. And if it takes getting behind someone like Plattner, which 51% of voters in Maine say that they will get behind him as opposed to 42%, if I lived in Maine, I would hold my nose and I would pull that lever and I would vote for him.
The amazing thing is the Democrats love Susan Collins. The Democrats worship the ground Susan Collins walks on because she challenges Trump. She won't vote automatically for Republican Party principles as led by the leader of the party. So they love Susan Collins until they have the opportunity to take total control of the Senate and pack the Supreme Court. And maybe make Puerto Rico and D.C. a state, giving them a permanent majority going forward. She will go against her own standards, saying that character matters, and hold her nose and elect a liar, cheater, racist, homophobe with no character. I guess it's just like he's only one of many in the illustrative cooling saucer of the legislature. Just amazing. The Senate, which used to think of itself as the snooty part of our situation here. The House, those 435 ruffians compared to the 100 members of the Senate Country Club. Well, welcome Graham Plattner if he gets through this. I still think they're going to look to replace him. Just really funny how the situation will force Sonny to hold her nose. But you know, the other interesting part of all of this is how many Democrats just can't find it in their hearts to jump on board and endorse Plattner. Yesterday afternoon, Boris Sanchez had Massachusetts Democrat Ed Markey on the show. And the trick now for anybody at CNN or MSNBC is to wait till the very end of the interview with whoever you're talking in the Democrat Party before you ask about Plattner. Sanchez did, and Markey did the Democrat two-step when pressed on the issue.
Before we go, Senator, I have to ask you about embattled Maine Senate candidate Graham Plattner. He met with Democrats in D.C. yesterday. Will you endorse his campaign?
I know that he is out and he is campaigning on kitchen table issues. I think that he has the right issues to be focusing upon this year in Maine, as I am doing, and I think other people who are really concerned about the direction our country is going in right now.
So, really not an answer. I do give Boris Sanchez credit because he went back to the well on this.
It sounds like he has your support, Senator.
Well, I am convinced that he is running on all of the right issues for our country right now.
So why not say that you endorse him?
But in my opinion, he has taken the issues and he's galvanized a grassroots movement all across Maine. People are responding at the town meetings. They are up. They are energized, and in my opinion, he is on a pathway to victory in the state of Maine.
Senator Ed Markey, we'll leave the conversation there.
I hate it when they say, we'll leave it there. It's one of the most irritating crutches in all of broadcasting. You know why they're leaving it there? There's probably already enough votes for Plattner mailed in. They have huge early voting in Maine. It is probably a fait accompli. We'll figure it out. You want to join the conversation, you can. 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. It's Opelka in for Plant on the Chris Plant Show.
If I lived in Maine, I would hold my nose and I would tip pull that lever and I would vote for him.
You're listening to the Chris Plant Show.
This place. I've been surfing here since I was a kid. Now, seeing my grandson out on the water, it means everything to me. Watching him and taking in the blue waves, the sea breeze, the blurry horizon.
If you have geographic atrophy, or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. Izervay is proven to slow GA progression and could help preserve your vision for longer, so you may keep seeing the world around you. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is an eye injection. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may cause blood in the white of the eye, blurred vision, or a temporary increase in eye pressure. Do not drive or use machinery until vision has recovered after an eye injection or exam. Ask your retina specialist how you can slow your GA with Izervay. To learn more, call 1-855-IZERVAY or go to izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-555-1509. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-555-1509. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-555-1509. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-555-1509 or biglou.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Between business life, social life, and her best bud, Loki, Beverly has a lot to focus on, especially while fighting Stargardt, a blinding retinal disease that starts during childhood and gets worse over time. But despite her vision loss, she's hopeful because she knows she's not fighting alone. For 50 years, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has funded research into treatments and cures for blinding diseases, providing real hope to those fighting vision loss. And our nationwide community of local chapters provides networking and support for people with vision loss, as well as their loved ones. Because the best way to fight against blinding diseases is to fight together. And for Beverly, winning the fight means focusing on what's closest to her. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Learn more about how you can help us end blinding diseases at fightingblindness.org.
Furnished by IntelliBrands.
Have you ever felt leg pain, restlessness, cramps, tingling, swelling, numbness, itchiness, or coldness? Then you need the new patented Legsercise Pro, a natural circulation booster that uses continuous automatic leg movement to soothe pain and promote healthy circulation, the natural drug-free way.
Using Legsercise made walking painless again.
Legsercise Pro's patented walking simulator propulsion technology moves your feet back and forth along its concave track, creating constant movement and flex at both the knee and ankle joints. It's like having a physical therapist right in your own home.
I have much less swelling and no more tingling.
Call right now and order your very own Legsercise Pro, the new proven automatic leg mover that soothes pain and naturally promotes healthy circulation. Call 800-555-1212. That's 800-555-1212. 800-555-1212 now.
These statements and products have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition.
The U.S. Treasury just released its official financial report for 2025. Buried in it is a startling admission. By its own numbers, it appears the U.S. government is insolvent. When governments go this deep in debt, they print money, raise taxes, or cut benefits, none of which can help protect you. That's why people move part of their savings into physical gold and silver. Call Monetary Gold at 877-NOW-GOLD for their complimentary gold and silver guide. That's 877-NOW-GOLD. Call Monetary Gold now at 877-NOW-GOLD. Do it before the next headline, not after. Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
It is the Chris Plant Show on this Friday, June 5th. Mike Opelka in for my buddy Chris Plant. Happy Donut Day. I was just talking to Michael Piercy about that as he ran to grab a cup of coffee in the break, and I said, and the donut! No donuts in the break room. Bummer. We'll talk about donuts because that subject came up during the breaking news this morning at CNBC. When the discussion of the jobs numbers happen, which is kind of a big stinking deal, and we should talk about that. But there are free donuts at a lot of places out there. You know, your Krispy Kremes, your Dunkin's. I encourage people to patronize the local donut joints. If there is somebody who's getting up at the pre-crack of dawn to make the donuts in your town, they deserve you going in and at least giving them a try. Not a big donut eater, maybe twice a month, but when I do, I try to shop those local Firehouse Cider Donuts. So good. They are, as they say in the South, smack your mama good, and I'm not advocating for domestic violence. As I said, we have so many things to get to on today's show, and we'll try to get to all of them as well as to your calls. Let's see, do we have time to grab one more call here? Yes, Mike in Gainesville. Mike, hello.
Hey, good morning, Mike. I'm up against the clock here. You know, 7 years ago, Rick Perry was head of the Department of Energy and said out loud, we have small modular fusion, not fission, fusion reactors.
Yeah.
But now we're going to have Trump building coal plants. I'm okay with coal, but where is the disclosure on all the new energy technology we have?
Well, I'd like to know about those fusion plants, too. I seem to think that if they were working, we'd know. We are at least looking at coal, gas, and nuclear, and I said that correctly, not nuclear, in order to power our growing needs in this AI era. And I'm happy to see the nuclear power plants are kind of following the France path, smaller, contained, efficient power plants. I'm okay with the coal thing because we've made great advances in clean coal. China uses that evil, dirty coal. So I'm okay to see this happen with an eye on where the heck are those fusion plants. They never seem to live up to the hype, do they, Mike? They don't. But I'd like to see what the news is on those. I'm sure if we've got fusion power, we're going to be using it to fly spaceships all across the galaxies. Any case, we'll check into it. But thank you, Mike. Appreciate you being there. First hour in the books. So we have so much more to get to. Election shenanigans by the Democrats in Alaska. I'll explain. Plus, the jobs numbers today. It's Opelka in for Plant on the Chris Plant Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.